No, you know what it is? What is Fly Like an Eagle?
That's from a movie sound?
Space Jam, don't you?
It's not from that.
It is from Space Jam soundtrack.
You really went with Space Jam? And went with... Yeah, I was going to say. Isn't that what you
said? Which one did I say?
You said Fly Like an Eagle.
Fly Like an Eagle. By Seal, nigga. I know that from a commercial, a Ford commercial.
Well, no. That's Fly Like an Eagle's
when,
a Seal
at the
song?
Very end, at the very end, when Michael Jordan dunks and stretches his arm out and shit and dunks.
Yeah, but bro, you named a movie that has a bigger song. I Believe I Can Fly.
Okay, yes, clearly I Believe I Can Fly is the biggest song.
No, you know what it might be is the Whitney Houston version of And I Will Always Love You. That's from The Bodyguard. That was originally a Dolly Parton song.
Okay,
yeah, is that bigger than anything?
I don't know.
Is that
but you know what I do know? It is 92 Bridge Podcast episode motherfucking 6. I bet y'all thought it was gone. I thought we fell off.
Back.
Oh, no such thing. Just like your girl booty. So, damn, fuck. It's been a while. Oh, well, first and foremost, it's your boy, KC, with my two co-hosts.
You go first.
Instagram at @carry_7. Lottie Dottie Dottie's been retired.
Ugh. I kind of hate this one more. But actually, you know, why you pick 7? Why pick 7?
The God number?
Well, I didn't pick 7. Instagram picked 7.
You just picked a random. You just like childish game.
Unless you went to 7? Yo, today's mathematics are crazy.
This James Gandolfini voice has like.
Oh, shit.
No, if I was James Gandolfini, this would be me. Carmelo?
What a
now, you know what's wild? Did y'all watch The Night Of, the HBO?
Hold on, motherfucker.
Spencer.
I want y'all motherfuckers to
Spencer, SGs.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter.
SGs.
On Instagram. On MySpace. Yeah. On Friendster. I'm on Black Planet.
Oh, Black Planet. Hey. Hey. Nah, his name is not SGs on Black Planet. No.
Just stop. No, the Night Of, you know, originally was Gandolfini in the Turturro role.
Dan Hathaway.
They shot a pilot.
Oh, wow.
With Gandolfini. Wow. It never came out.
To be honest with you, I think he would have done better. And I actually like
John Turturro was the fucking man.
No, he killed
show.
It. But imagine
he won an Emmy.
I mean, imagine James Gandolfini with like the foot condition.
It would have been completely
like,
different.
It would have been
completely different.
I think I like it. I like that. Because James Gandolfini comes off like he could be racist. Like, you know what I mean?
Could be.
Yeah, exactly.
If James Gandolfini hasn't said the N-word, I am skinny.
Yeah. Oh, very well. There goes that.
Wait, you remember the dude's name on the show, right? The main character?
Nas. Yeah, Nas. Can't get away from the guy.
What's going on this week?
What the fuck is happening, man?
We had a Monday drop, right? So if y'all remember, drops used to happen on Tuesday. New Music Tuesday used to be a thing.
Right.
People go to there. Right now, music drops mostly happen on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a Monday drop.
We had a Monday drop by the GOAT.
NATO.
A man who has the same name as...
You can't mispronounce the name, though. You know young Rafael Nadal.
He has the same... Wait, are we going to talk about that?
Last time before we recorded, your boy Carrie was talking about. He's like, "Yo, Young Thug is wilding right now." We're like, "Wait, what did he do?" And he's like, "Oh wait, I meant to say Nadal." I'm like, "What the fuck?"
He was referring to the U.S. Open, and Rafael Nadal was playing.
Yeah,
and we're like, "Wait, how did Young Thug?" He's like, "I don't know.
I think I had my laptop open and I was looking at my iTunes and I was listening to Young Thug.
You weren't listening to Young Thug.
No. I wasn't. Not at the time.
I really think you just equate like your heroes.
Because you're
a big Nadal fan.
You're a big
Jeffrey fan.
I mean, we're talking about two goats. It's not really about fanhood. It's about fact.
Can we talk about how GOAT has become so fucking played out?
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
It sucks.
Oh, my GOAT. Fuck your GOAT.
That's why it's so fun to use it now. Because it's like everyone's a GOAT. Everyone's fucking dead.
I'm sorry.
You don't say that to people.
All right, I'm definitely editing that out. It's, I want to say that we are sponsored by We Work Beer. Clearly,
as always. Wait, how do you spell huge? Like per usual, but like
I can't figure out how to do it.
I want to text it all the time, and I never.
That's the worst.
Or use.
Can I tell you how I've literally sent voice memo so I don't have to type it out because I don't know how.
But it's such good comedic effect.
Phonetically, is no way to spell that shit.
One time I spelled it YOUZH and the person got it.
That kind of works.
But that was a long time ago. I don't really know. I feel like shorthand has evolved. We just need the answer.
So, speaking of shorthand, post-language, the king of post-language rap, Young Thug, dropped, what's it called? On the Run?
On the Run.
On the Run. Six-track EP.
So, can I tell you how this morning I'm running out of the door and I wanted to hear the EP while I commuted. So, I had a bunch of shit in my hand. So, I was like...
You were on the run? Here all night.
Yo, the fact that that's not even the point of this joke is sad because that's funnier than what I have to say.
Oh, man. That's saying a lot. That's
No. It's just a funny thing. Like, I asked Siri to play On the Run, so she goes, playing on the RV.
she figured it out.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, 6-track EP. And
go ahead.
What a flex.
I mean,
features, man.
Yeah, he's got Black, who we're going to talk about in a minute. Six Lack, for those phonetically pronouncing it. Jaden Smith, who does Jaden sound like on this?
But he sounds like Untitled Kendrick.
Yeah,
really? His voice.
And a feature from Elton John. Was
it an actual feature or was it just
a sample? No, he's credited as a feature.
Right.
It's totally a sample. The whole song is based around Rocket Man by Elton John.
It's like that ASAP Rocky song with fucking...
Rob Stewart. Yeah, but that one at least had parts that didn't have Rod. Yeah, and I think Rod...
And Miguel did an interpolation of
what Rod actually did. So I think what it is sometimes when people get features or get samples, they will credit the artist as a feature because I think that plays into how the royalties work. I'm sure Young Thug probably had to give up his royalties on this entire album to get that. Because, I mean... Do you understand, like, Rocket Man is, like, such an iconic, you know, commercials, and, like, for Young Thug to be able to use that, they're friends, apparently. Yeah. There's, like, a photo of them.
2015.
IRL.
Do you remember when, I think the Fader broke that story in 2015, where apparently...
But who's surprised by that, to be honest with you? I mean, as random as it is, why wouldn't they be best friends?
Right. Somebody was with Thug at 300 Entertainment headquarters. I think that's where they were.
I thought it was in England.
And... they just happen to be a reporter, and they're in the room when Young Thug gets on FaceTime, and Elton John picks him. Like, it was that random.
Wow. Jeffrey!
That instantly became a story, a blog post on the Fader one afternoon.
So,
and then the photo came out, and then it was like, wait, this is some real shit.
Yeah.
Like, Young Thug FaceTimed Elton John to talk about a record. And this is 2015, before Young Thug is really Young Thug.
I don't know if he still has his show on Apple Music, Elton John does, but when that first came out, it became really clear, and like apparently this isn't a new thing. Like, you know, a lot of people say, like, oh, they keep up with the times. Apparently Elton John is like... literally every week buys every new album, like listens to every, like he's very, like I don't know if he's, you know, like a hip hop head, but he's very in touch with like
aware.
Just new music.
Yeah,
I mean, if like you said, it's not surprising, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's surprising to hear that he's that on top of music. It's not surprising to hear that that Thug and Elton John are cool like that. Right. Isn't,
like if you had to pick a rapper
on each other's clothing and shit like that.
we're not even trying to clown, but it
makes sense. And but the thing is, it's interesting. Like, what has Elton John's musical output been? Has he put out anything?
He's like strictly a legacy artist. He did like a soundtrack.
He just goes on tours when he wants to.
He's
coasting.
He actually had he did something that was interesting because you know how in Vegas they have residencies,
right?
And like I think the first artist to really buck the trend of like it used to be like if you had a residency in Vegas, like you're washed,
right?
Yeah. But then I think what bucked the trend was Celine Dion, who's like, you know, just like a monster artist. They built that whole like they built at part of the Caesars like a stadium for her, and she had like a residency for like years.
That's crazy.
But then since then, there's been a lot. Like Britney Spears has one, but Elton John did a residency. I know it's
be famous because of Britney. Yeah,
Elton John did a residency not long ago, and it was kind of controversial, I think, because like he's someone who's just toured forever and can just make big money,
right? Yeah, but as it relates to Young Thug, how do we feel about? I mean, I think just That's such a flex to have Elton John on your shit. But like, but it's like for me,
the song's great too.
First and foremost, I haven't listened to the EP yet, but just looking at it, I'm like, why would you use so much real estate with features on your on an EP? Like, you have six tracks and you have all features except for one. Though, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the only answer I even have for that is that Young Thug doesn't have to follow the rules.
I mean, it's early, but I think I can confidently say, like, the reaction to this is, like, the most universally positive, like, probably since...
Jeffrey, maybe.
I'd say even Jeffrey had some back and forth. I was going to say, what came first, Jeffrey or Slime Language 3? Or Slime Season 3?
I can't remember. I think Slime Season 3 was way before.
Because Season 3 was right around Yeezy, around Pablo.
Season 3. Yeah.
So I would say Season 3, or I keep
saying Slime Season 3, yeah.
Yeah, Slime Season 3, I think.
You talking about 2, though? 2 came out.
No, 2 wasn't really on streaming. 3 was like... 3's
the one with the blood on his eyes or whatever?
Yeah, where it looks like the...
Yeah, that's top 3 Thug mixtapes.
So I would say this has probably the most... Because I think Jeffrey had mixed takes. I like Jeffrey a lot.
Yeah, I thought people really liked Jeffrey.
But I think there were some people that it wasn't what they were looking for.
I could see that.
It had more poppy stuff. Because remember,
that's kind of been his career, though.
The Wycliffe John.
Because it's like, I don't... Like, he is, to me, I think, Young Thug, as famous as he is. And I think you talked about
Spencer. How famous is he?
But back when we were talking about, like, Nicki Minaj a couple episodes ago, you were saying that certain people hit a certain level where whatever they do, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Young Thug got to a point very quickly in his... career.
His status.
Where it's like he's just universally loved and like waited on, but then when he actually puts out the project, it's not necessarily something that lasts long or it has mixed reviews or it just kind of just comes and goes. And it's like as much, it's very similar to like the Frank Ocean album that came out last time. I know Nixon is a big fan of it, but it's too. Like it came and went and people were like waiting on it very heavily. So Young Thug just kind of seems like his whole career is people waiting for him to drop shit. He drops shit and nobody's like going nuts about it the way that you would expect, you know?
Well, I mean, he came in the game like his output was almost part of his skill set early on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he kind of conditioned his fan base to not invest too much anticipation into any one project because you always knew the next one was like, you know, right around.
Well, you know what I think threw things off is how big Lifestyle got.
Yeah, true.
Because, like, you see, to your what you were saying, KC, about like how you get to a point. So, to me, Young Thug, the name, got ubiquitous.
Right.
Got big. Like, most people have heard of Young Thug. Because, actually, there was a great tweet. I forgot who it was by, like, maybe a couple weeks ago. And they were like, I can't believe that in the 35-year history of rap, no one had thought of the name Young Thug before.
Yeah, no, I think Carrie wrote it.
Because I didn't write the tweet.
No, I shared the tweet.
Well, I remember...
but isn't that so accurate?
The first time I ever heard of Young... Or the first time it was, like, noted that Young Thug was somebody worth listening was when Carrie actually wrote in the source. He was like, we hear your ubiquitous, like, size. Because of his name, because you know,
oh, because it sounds generic. Because
name, exactly. And I was like, yeah, like but, nobody's gonna listen to Young Thug if it was a SoundCloud person.
Yeah, like it just
five listens on this track.
But that's the thing; his name blew up. But I think, like the people in this room, we can name songs by him, we can name projects, but you can be a pretty big fan of rap and probably not know a specific Young Thug song. Outside of Lifestyle.
Yeah, or maybe Best Friend, but even that.
Maybe Best Friend, maybe. You know, Best Friend was big, but like, I think that's what threw it off was like, he got really big with Lifestyle, and then it's like, then we had to hold him to the standard that you're talking about, KC. Right. I think if it wasn't for that, he would have just been this like, underground, not underground, but you know what I mean?
He would have played, he would have.
Like French.
He's not a SoundCloud rapper necessarily. Oh. He's like above that in certain ways, but his output is very much like what you would expect from a SoundCloud rapper.
Like it's where weird. He it's like drops shit,
and it's like they're hit or miss, and they're anticipated either way. But it's just bizarre.
Well, it's changed too because I remember that first year, he had like 100 songs and like they were stretched out between like there were some tapes, there were some randoms,
the Rich Homie Quan shit.
Yeah, he had the whole thing together, with that was super well received. Really good. Well,
by first year you mean 2014?
Yeah,
because the first thing was
not
the
yeah, smoking, which wasn't really was his first year.
The first one Thug came out with was the one about smoking. I feel it was called
Stoner. That was the first one that like hit.
Yeah. That was 13 Stoner, and I think Danny Glover hit at the same time.
Yeah,
right, Danny Glover.
And then Stoner.
What year was the remix with Nicki? Was that 13 or 14? If that was 13, that was
we're missing a song.
No, you know what? No, that was January 2014.
No,
yeah, no, that was 14. My best friend.
Yeah, that was later though. Yeah. And then he had the Tyga song that was on the radio. Actually, that was his first real.
Oh.
The hookah. Pass me the hookah.
Hookah. I completely forgot about that song.
Yo, hookah. And it was amazing. Oh, smash, bro.
But you know what it was? It wasn't till About the Money. That made me go, okay, I don't have to feel guilty about, like, I don't have to feel conflicted about liking Young Thug.
Right.
Like, Hookah there was just,
Hookah,
like...
Hookah was a joint a lot of people thought was...
Hookah was poppy, though. And it was Tyga.
A lot of people thought it was his song, though, because they knew the hook.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Man, I did not remember Hookah. Remember All About the Money?
Hookah's
that was the one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was the one when I heard that. And I heard it... I actually heard that as a SoundCloud song. Like, it wasn't a release single yet.
I think we heard that together. It was on Audio Mac.
I actually remember where I was. I was in San Francisco.
It was randomly. It was on like Audio Mac for the first few weeks.
Yeah, it was like not anything.
Yo, that shit.
That shit took off. You ever seen the video of the two Indian dudes in the car? And when
it is that, out. Right?
Yeah.
So it's that, it's but that. I saw it for Yosemite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw it the other day. I saw it the other day too. God. That shit is perfect.
That Yosemite.
Yeah, I want people to continue to use that video for that, it's like so that good. Moment. Yeah. Damn, I wish it was.
A well, I joked about how like Gun is like getting Thug out of here so much that even his memes, he's getting him out of.
Yeah.
You know.
I won't. To be honest with you, I think if Young Thug is smart, he would just capitalize on their moment right now. Because I don't think, no matter what, like how you said with the Nicki Minaj thing before, I think Young Thug, no matter what, he has on his side that he can kind of release, come back,
he can
disappear.
Do what he wants, yeah.
And I would really try to just push Lil Baby and Gunna right now because of how.
Well, Baby's not YSL, right? Gunna is.
They're both YSL. No.
Baby is QC.
He's QC.
Yeah, he's QC.
You're right. Yeah.
QC, but, which is
Quality Control.
Quality Control, Yachty, Migos. Who else is a couple
City
people?
City Girls on there.
City Girls is label, QC.
Yeah, City Girls.
He manages Cardi now. But who's label? QC label is Yachty.
Label is Migos. Yachty, City Girls.
City Girls Stefan. Is label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Cause they're on the mixtape. That's the first time I've ever heard City Girls.
Yeah,
was in that.
Oh, that's
that was
right.
The first time track. Yeah, that was the first
QC mixtape. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Black.
My point being though is that Young Thug. He has the benefit that he can kind of disappear for a while and put out something fire later on. And he should really try to capitalize on Gunna. Because, I mean, he's out of here at this point.
Well, I think he just kind of has.
Yeah. He fell back.
But he put Gunna all over that. Yeah. So he has like five features on that.
I would stay away. I mean, even dropping the EP is like...
On this line language project.
Right, which was like a crew album, which sort of I didn't realize that at first.
Yeah, I don't think he even kind of postured it that way.
I was going to say, I think it became that.
It became that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
That's why he probably came back with this.
Up until the very last. Last minute.
Right.
Yeah. And then even when they said the snakes and shit, like, you know.
Right, it was like positioned as
a Young Thug.
I thought that was really, I thought it was a dope album or whatever it is.
That's kind of another example of a lot of publicity, a lot of expectation, and then the album comes and it's kind of came and go. Because just like that,
everything comes and goes.
Certain things are a moment. I think the anticipation towards a Young Thug album would make you think it would last longer.
That's fair.
Like Barter 6 when it came out, it was like people heard it was about to drop it. Mm-hmm. Everybody was going crazy. It did, once it dropped, people talked about it. It's kind of, but it kind of just dissipated.
See, I don't know that I. It's so weird.
It's the thing. It's just,
I think
it's
Barter's just, has yeah, like, I like it. Lasting. Don't get me wrong. Like that's his album.
Yeah.
That's Young Thug's album. Like it had. I don't know.
I think the thing with Thug has this like. I mean, he's famous. He's super famous, but he's also still famous in very specific ways. Yeah. So he can do things that blow up in Young Thug world that don't necessarily blow up on a just hyper mainstream level.
Yeah. Because what does he sell? What is
the masses? Like? It's weird. He's in that really weird space.
I don't think he sells.
Like even he doesn't sell much, but then like even if you see like
Slime Language did about I think 50, 60, which,
and that was his best.
Honestly,
first week ever.
I think we're at That's a point crazy. Now where like you either do significant numbers or you're kind of just with the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
And your first week, because first week numbers have changed so much because it used to be a lot about like what your base was because you had those like sales, but now sales is like such a. It's not
taking a backseat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's like streaming. So now it's like, okay, if you're a younger artist, you stream heavy. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying how you were surprised that
YoungBoy.
But how Gucci Mane put out a song with Bruno Mars and
Kodak
Black, which is like good, but poppy.
Really good.
And it debuted lower than
debuted
the new
30.
Right 30.
Little Baby and Gunna.
Little Baby and Gunna debuted higher. Now, I think two things are going on there. I think Lil Baby and Gunna had a couple extra days on it for charting. So there's that. But I also think it's that, like I said, it's just like Lil Baby and Gunna, like, they're number one on Apple Music because it's just like skews really young.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
but,
it's.
But see, to me, like.
Because young people just play shit over and over and over.
To me, Bruno Mars is the type of artist that would transcend even that, you know.
But Bruno Mars is a radio artist. So, like, when you played me that song the first time, my first thought was, how big could this song get? And I'm thinking radio, which takes time to build.
Right, right.
Like, for example, like Post Malone now has that Better Now song, which I think is now top five. That song,
yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Right, it built because that's how pop songs still. Because he's like a pop artist.
Do you know when it was serviced?
Probably like a month and a half ago. Okay. I think pretty early on. Like I remember when the album dropped. Like Taylor Swift talked about how she loves that song. It's a good pop. Like it's a well written pop song.
If I'm looking for pop in 2018, that's where I'm going.
Right,
that shit's hot.
This is actually a perfect transition. So we were going to talk about Black because he dropped an album, and he actually is featured on the Thug Project on a song that to me is like maybe the most, in some ways, pop. Like, I think that song could blow. Climax?
Which one? Oh, yeah.
The one we played right before. It has one of these choruses that are just like sing-songy, and like it gets stuck in your head. It's still Thug saying really weird shit,
of course,
but the chorus of it is great. So Black, did y'all listen to the Black album?
I still call him six lakh in my head. Like I was telling Spencer earlier, somebody texted me like six lakh and I was like, yo, you're not gonna do
this. See, I like referring to him as lack.
Lack.
Which you can't do if he's black. Cool. But six lakh, you can call him lack.
Did you see the merch? I thought the merch was great.
Yeah, the Balenciaga with the six on it.
No, I didn't see that.
That was dope.
That was really
smart. He has
more. Because you're not going to say six Balenciaga, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of forces you.
So what is it? Oh.
It's a dad hat that says six.
Balenciaga
for the rest of it. Yeah.
Because it's in the same font.
And he also has like shirts that kind of like accentuate the fact that it isn't a six and stuff like that. It's pretty dope.
You know what else he has? He sent me a postcard.
Oh my god!
Really?
Yes, this isn't a joke. We could make that like the cover.
Right.
No. So when he announced the album, he announced it as like EastAtlantaLoveLetter.com or something. Mm-hmm. And I went and I signed up. And I signed up because I was curious to see what he was going to do with this.
Yeah.
And he sent out some updates along the way. Like I think when the album had a release date, and then the album came out. What, like two? I mean, who knows when you're listening to this? But it came out on. Do we know the date it came out?
That was last September. The Friday before last, right?
I want to say
14th or something like that.
I think it was the 14th.
September 14th. So the album came out September 14th. And then maybe on September 20th, I got a postcard in the mail. Hmm. And it's like a photo of him with like my address and everything. And then on the back, it's like fake handwritten. And it's like, Dear Spencer. And then it has like this whole explanation of like where he's been. And,
oh, wow.
But that shit's creative. Like, that's so rare nowadays.
I know he's doing that.
Did you see the party he threw at Magic City?
No.
No.
I wish. It was cool. Yeah. It literally said, like, East Atlanta Love Letter instead of the Magic City logo.
Yeah, so just in there. Well, wait. Let's get into, because I think that some people, I think a lot of people are familiar with Black, but I don't know.
A lot of people aren't, probably, too.
But there's a lot of people who aren't. So let's do them the due diligence of context. So who is Black? How did you guys find out about Black?
I think. I follow a couple of people who were working at Empire and Interscope.
Okay.
No, not Empire. I think it was Interscope.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Not Empire. Interscope and Love Renaissance. His imprint.
Okay. That's
Where's the first time you ever heard of Love Rents?
Because
they go by Love Rents, right?
Yeah.
Renaissance. That's his crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember where?
No.
Rory.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, wait. Rory the artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
Rory from the podcast.
I mean, you guys are both heads.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. No, I mean, he's the more famous Rory now. Props. Just, my old coworker.
That's a wild premise.
Yeah, wow.
I remember that. That was funny the day you found
Although
that.
Rory gets looks. Like, Rory will randomly pop up
He'll be in a Gap
the rapper. Yeah, like his song will just
he'll be
in like
a Gap. Really?
Gap.
What's he doing?
I bet you he's doing shows with
Not much, crazy. Probably.
That's fucking crazy. And that kid is super talented.
So that's where I first heard Love Renaissance. So what are you saying?
So the Love Renaissance, I followed a couple of people that were working at that imprint as well as Interscope.
It's
so,
like a collective.
Yeah, it's really a small operation. There were just a bunch of consecutive Instagram posts about this dude Black. So naturally, I tune in. And I played the project, and I don't even think I'm halfway through it. I think I'm in a group chat with y'all, like, yo, this is whatever this, I don't really know what this is, but it's something.
Yeah.
And then by the end of that weekend, we had all consumed it in some way.
Yeah.
And it happened really.
And that project was Free Black.
That was Free Black, his debut.
Right. Free Black.
And he'd been in the business for a minute as a writer. I still couldn't tell you off the top of my head any song that he'd actually written, but he developed some type of rap as a writer.
Well, first he was a battle rapper.
Right.
He was a rapper.
He battled Young Thug.
That was a crazy thing.
Wait.
There's a video of him battling Young Thug.
Yeah, there is. Wow, yeah. Man, synergy over here.
Wow, yep. I have not seen that.
Wait, how about this?
That seems like something
I just like now, things that'll probably lift a dinosaur off the ground. Homeboys, who they stepping up to? I got hands ready to dance like Step It Up too. They got a clique full of chicks and we'll serve they members. And I'm getting money so the bank I enter. Top so much ice that he fell like winter. Jewels on my neck like the Bird Gang member.
It's like really shitty fucking Android quality.
It really is, man. Like damn, you just like, shitting on Android like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Kendrick in the Projects video, like that, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's really old, bro.
Wow.
Wait.
Like, how could it be that old? He's like 20.
It's pretty old.
It's old, bro.
It's old. It's like them in high school.
Yeah.
Wait, so Black R&B singer who came up with the collective Love Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess his last name?
What's his first name?
Ricardo.
Oh, right. My God.
Damn, Matt Spence. Ricardo Valdez. Last Valentine.
Wow.
His last name is Valentine.
Is that why they call it? Is that? No, because we're.
No, because, yeah, Love Rance wasn't started by him. But isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah. Valentine. For an R&B artist to have Valentine.
For a guy whose album's called Love Letter?
Love Letter, yeah.
Damn, wow. That's wild synergy.
Oh, so, God. I know the way I found out about him was. I think I was just on Instagram and I kept seeing people at his album listening for Free Black.
Mm.
And I was very much somebody, and still am very much somebody who. I know people talk about, like, judge the book by the cover, but I will listen to pretty much anything on Apple Music that I think the cover speaks to me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like a random R&B.
Describe the cover.
Well, the cover is just—it's very like.
It was a bear on that shirt.
Yeah, it's very foreboding. Well,
that's like his nickname, right?
Yeah,
which is weird.
But it's like a black and white picture of him sitting with
a giant bear.
Yeah, he at the time he had dreads and mm-hmm. he looked kind of crazy.
You call those dreads?
Yeah, whatever the fuck that was. I'm glad he cut them shits up. But it looked like. All I can say is the album cover looked like what the music sounded like. And it was like, it
I'd fit
pretty
that.
Much perfectly. And I listened to the first two tracks and I was like, oh yeah, that's it. This is it.
Once I heard Problems, I was sold.
Yeah.
I heard Problems. I heard X Calling.
Damn, I just thought about the fact that X Calling.
Perky's Calling.
And now and now he has Future.
Right.
Like, what what a full circle thing, right? You're basically.
Future on a track list, I was really excited because I knew kind of knew exactly what he was going to sound
like
with that.
No, but it's wild because, like, listen, the Future. East Atlanta Love Letter, the single, is. I've probably listened to that song more in the time frame since it's come out than any song. That I can remember in years. But it's interesting because, like, getting Future on a song is not really a big feat because anyone can do it. But it is crazy.
Atlanta. Like, you know what I mean?
What'd you say?
Especially if you're from Atlanta.
Right, like, especially you know what I mean? if you're popping, like,
right.
Or if you got 50 grand for, like, but it's crazy. Think about the full circle-ness of to be a nobody because that's what's crazy about Black was. Behind the scenes, he obviously made some moves. A big reason why he blew up was Apple Music. He got featured by them. He was like, he was like signed Apple Music.
Yeah,
like that was his. He like quietly had billboards from Apple Music, but on the surface, he was a nobody who interpolated a Future song. That now he's on an album where is that Future? What am I going to say? Tell me, you know what I'm going to say. What am I going to say?
Is that Future's best song in quite a while?
Is that Future's look?
I mean, he sounded like King's the Future Dead. That I love. And when we said, going from the bottom of the mud,
bro.
I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, there he is. I'm like, that's Future.
The cadence, bro.
I'm like, yeah, Future got on that song like he was, like,
he was in
creeping in Tony Montana's mansion, bro.
I was
like,
texting him the day
that came shit
out.
That shit was sneaky. Like,
I was like, my man brought out the whole tool bag. He gave you the fuck. He gave you the intro.
He sang.
The flow switch. He gave you the.
Who's better on the song?
Future.
Yeah, I think
Future, he just does
more. Because you know what it is? It's like if it was Future's song, you would have had an argument of who, because it's in the mid. It's like three songs into very, very black songs. But the fact that Future's on it, it's like, just Future stole the show, bro.
I can't give it to Future because to me... Really? Okay.
Imagine if it was a Future mixtape, those two Future songs before that one. It would feel like you could actually make the argument, I feel like.
See, I don't think it could be on a Future mixtape because to me, it reeks of Black's writing.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Future, yeah. Future stumbles into amazing writing. I don't think he's an amazing writer.
Right.
Black shows, like to me, like, that song, the one with Cole and the Thug song, like, they show levels of, like, almost pop, and I'm not trying to make it out like if you could write a pop song, you're a better writer.
Nah, but maybe not necessarily the kids in Atlanta, because that's even a somewhat of a newer generation, like the Yachty's and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the generation that Black represents, the 20 somethings, you know, the go getters per se, like, mm-hmm. I think they still see Future as the Jay-Z of that region, like, mm-hmm. you know. Even that's when you fair. Think about how
I think him Gucci Mane.
Yeah,
that's a little different. I feel like it's a little different.
I think Gucci's more godfathery. Like Gucci yeah. is more like, you know, kind of like an omnipresence, whereas Future is like day to day. You can look he's at accessible. Him and be like, yeah, he's still at the pinnacle.
Right.
I mean, like even right. when he that's goes fair. Dry or flat, you know, for a little while, it's like
he's still there.
He still comes back and he's still like the show still stops for Future in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like I said, you know, the comparison even with the Migos, like as huge as the Migos are right now, I went to that Drake show. The what's the name of his tour? The Three Amigos tour.
Oh, bringing the Three Amigos.
It is a cut and even
it's a Drake show.
Yeah, even though it's cute that they have their name and the title and whatever, like it is a cut and dry opening set.
The funniest shit was like, your explanation or your description of the Amigos set, where like they're just tiptoeing across the stage.
Yeah, I mean performance. The blandness of
well, they're bad performance.
They're actually bad performance to the point where it's like you guys actually aren't taking it seriously, maybe. But
and you feel like when Drake and Future were on tour together, it was more of a co.
Yeah, I mean, not just in the way that it was presented as this Drake and Future to coincide with like the joint album and the.
It was after, but yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was announced in that cycle. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, even when I went to see the show when I was out in LA 2016, the show, like, Drake comes out first and he comes out the way an artist would generally come out for the first time, like from behind a curtain or whatever. Mm-hmm. Future comes out of the fucking ground, you know what I'm saying, to like some wildly raucous feature, and then he takes the show over.
To the show Future has to come out the floor.
I'm just saying, like the way that he and Drake were, like the way they interpolated each other into, you know, the show. It was a lot more collaborative,
and it does help that they had an album together.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, it might not necessarily mean that Future was one upping Drake at the time or whatever. Yeah. It just goes to show you the type of respect he commanded from someone that was very much at the top of their game at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I think like having, you know, as hot as some of these other people might be from Atlanta, like there's something really, really symbolic about having Future.
Right? Is it like a passing of the torch kind of thing?
It really is a rite of passage.
Yeah. But it's weird because like Future's a rapper first and foremost, but he has this R&B thing about him that I think that really relates to Black, because Black can rap if he wants to rap. If he decides to rap, he can rap.
Right.
But
he started as a rap.
Yeah, but it's like he's also very heavily, he's more this R&B guy than this rapper guy.
Well, you know what's funny, and I never realized it until the Black feature on the Young Thug album, but Black is basically Young Thug without the codeine. Like their style is so, their delivery is very similar.
I think Young Thug is weird, a little bit outside, because Young Thug kind of has like this reckless abandon to attacking tracks,
right.
Where Black is very, I think it's very, or like it's meticulous,
kind of straightforward.
Yeah, it's like it's very deliberate.
No, for sure. You know, and Thug, let's say Thug has like 1,000 different styles. Yeah. Like I'm just talking about one specific one, but it was weird to me how much I was like, yo, it kind of sounds like Thug without the weirdness sometimes.
Yeah,
which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing at all. I mean, because you know, like I can see Young Thug like going to the studio and like just playing the beat, and he's just making noises to kind of figure out where he's going to go. And Black probably comes in there very quiet, very calm, and has a book.
That right.
Has,
like, he has lyrics written.
Right now. Yeah.
What do you think Black's ceiling is?
Composition, hell yeah.
for reference, to me, I feel like Black is super popular in a certain way. His album just came out. It did about 70,000, which
is really amazing for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess I have a weird perspective in that, like, now I give people a certain, like, expectation just off of like this unspoken stature, which I feel like he has. Like he has this. But what do you think he could be? Like, how big could he get?
I haven't really considered that.
Can he do arenas? No, right? He can't do
it. And I think the reason
I think he could one day. Like, can he do arenas right now?
No.
Like, who's an artist that has a similar touring capacity right now with Black? Rapper R&B. Just, like, give me...
It's weird, man, because you look at Childish Gambino having a fucking garden, and it's like, nothing makes sense anymore.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
So who would be...
Fascinating.
Who's a bigger touring draw? Ray Shremmerd on their own or Black?
I think Ray Shremmerd right now.
No, honestly, I don't know.
I think Ray Shremmerd
had the radio to the point where, because they had the Black Beatles thing, they had a lot of moments that Black has, but Black just has really good albums if you're in the know, you know about it, but there's people who do not know who Black is.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know that their appeal has necessarily grown significantly from Shrimp 2 to Shrimp 3.
They're not the best.
I forgot about
one. Yeah, I'm more
with Black. I think from album to album, he's made like leaps and bounds. Like,
yeah,
the reason I never even really considered how big he could be is because like his appeal grew so quickly. I never even thought we'd be having this conversation on album 2. Like, you know, like for us to even be considering Black could one day do arenas, and in 2016 no one knew who he was, it's kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
And he doesn't even have a hit record.
No, not even close. His biggest Billboard, I'm looking at it now, his biggest Billboard chartings are Problems, which peaked at 72, which isn't saying much. To be fair, things were different a year ago, which is when that peaked.
What about the X Calling get up there?
Say it again?
X Calling?
No, nothing else charted.
Really?
His highest charting song is the one he has with Khalid and Ty Dolla on the way.
I actually thought
that could have been a lot bigger.
It wasn't a great song, but it was good.
Like it.
But I think it could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I think on paper it looked like it should have been more. Because
Khalid can do no wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's fucking, he's the sound.
Everything.
He's the sound.
Hooks.
Well, that's a weird mix because you got three people who kind of serve similar purposes. Like, they can be.
I think that's what I didn't like about it. It felt too doctored. It felt like.
I thought Black offered the least there.
It felt like something that was cooked up in some office somewhere. And then they were like, we should make them do that. And, you know,
the thing about Black that's interesting, though, is that his career right now is exactly what Bryson Tiller should have been.
Well, it's what Bryson Tiller's was at one point.
Yeah, because he had the first album that was
amazing. I mean, honestly, he's not nearly as big as Bryson Tiller really was.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's Bryson Tiller with a better sophomore album.
That's a fact. But here's the thing. We all agreed at one point, even before we were having podcasts officially, we had this conversation and we talked about, like, Bryson Tiller is... Like he can't really see Black as far as skill set. I think we agreed there.
I think
in terms of actually like putting words together, putting song concepts together, like I think we agreed that Black was a tier higher. There was just something really accessible.
It's something you know what it is.
There was something really accessible about
about Black lets me know that like he's someone who's like he knows music. He's like, he's not somebody who kind of fell into it and happened to be good. And when his friend said he happened to be good, I think he's somebody who really meticulously studies it and has a real respect about music.
I think the only thing Bryson Tiller has over Black, in as far as like something he could do better, is an area that's like not something you really like can feel special about. Which is, I think Bryson Tiller has a couple more like he has a couple songs that are like hard. Or like jamming, like Rambo, or actually this new one that we all like a lot, Canceled, is pretty hard. Black doesn't really do that kind of song, but part of me is like, I bet if he wanted to, he could.
Did you saw the coffee?
And that's not
bean
something
freestyle.
To brag about because I feel like anyone could do Rambo.
You saw the coffee bean freestyle.
I wasn't impressed with that.
I liked it. I did like
what?
It.
You're talking about the black coffee bean.
Black wrapped over coffee bean by Travis Scott, which was the one like a very outlier track on Astroworld by Travis Scott.
Well, you know what's funny about that? He first did it on Sway, did about a minute. And I thought that was dope. I thought he hit an awesome pocket. And then I think he was like, all right, let me not waste this. He put out like a 3-minute freestyle.
Oh,
I wasn't that impressed.
I've only
with
seen
that.
Sway.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a full, like, he put it on his Twitter. I had seen that, and then I went back. But wait, but back to the Making a Hard song. Like, I think that's the one area where Black can maybe doesn't have what Bryson has, but that's not a, like, impressive thing. like Rambo or this new Bryson song. That's like fair. You get with a producer as a hard beat, and like you could probably do.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't. I think Black doesn't make that because he doesn't want to make that.
Yeah, no,
it's not because he can't. Like it's like he can very much.
Maybe he can't because it's not as lame. But like it doesn't. Right. That's not something to write home about.
It's not as lame because he's decided not to do it yet. You know what I mean? Like if he decided to do it, it could easily.
Y'all call him dissing Bryson though, right?
What?
No. What?
Wait, really? Is that Nonchalant where he's rapping?
What does he say?
He just has something about I'm doing what you was like supposed to do on your second album or some shit like that.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like I bagged that with it out of that.
No, it's a very clear.
Here we go. Spence back rapping.
No, in all seriousness, does Black have like a heartthrob thing? Because that was big for Bryson. Bitches like Bryson. Like that was a thing. Is that a thing for Black?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think bitches knew what Bryson looked like until he cut his hair. And now they still know what he looks like.
Bryson or Black?
I mean Black, rather. Yeah. Sorry. Because Black had the weird dreads and he just looked like
hair. If anything, I thought I was surprised that he shaved his dreads. That was a look.
I thought it was smart. I think it was smart to have the dreads is what I was saying.
Yeah. I agree.
Shaving the hair, it's like you look like currency.
He looks a lot like currency. Just like currency.
Real quick,
it's R&B currency.
This was the Black line. It was on the song Nonchalant on the
Black line
East Atlanta album. He says, "If you down and you need a little help, it's a way. If you hating and you feeling insecure, Issa Rae, I'm somewhere between humble and hell. Nah, these niggas dropped their second album and fell off."
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's very clear. I think
that could, like, it doesn't have to be.
It don't have to be.
It is,
like,
but
it probably is.
Come on, just like isn't. Yeah, like just like is it what you like? Just because he wrote "Wear a Kufi," you don't mean it,
right?
What
I want to say is, I never seen Nas wear a Kufi before. So
I thought that.
He's so synonymous with Kufis.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, Kufi.
To me, that's what made a lot funnier.
Kufi don't mean hate, right?
I feel like we could go down a whole.
My fault. Real quick, just because he wear a Kufi don't mean that he write. That could mean write. Like, what if he's trying to say? What if he's trying to say he has a ghostwriter?
No, it's just because he wear a Kufi doesn't mean that he's right.
No, right. He said right. Right.
Yeah, he said right. But he meant like right, like right and wrong.
I know right and wrong, but what if he meant right?
Nah,
like
he right. I don't think he meant.
That'd be crazy.
I thought it was bright. Smart.
That would have been wild.
No, it was right.
It's definitely not bright, bro. And we're talking about
the Blueprint 2 title track,
yeah. Where Jay-Z disses
where Just Blaze brings the fucking horns in. That's what happened.
He sampled the good, the bad.
Yo,
the ugly.
I'm right. Y'all wrong. It's bright.
It's bright.
It's bright because bright. Okay, a kufi is traditionally a hat that's worn by like scholarly folk. Like
it's worn by Muslims.
No, that's a kufi.
Muslims wear kufis.
Kufi is something it's not?
I thought
a kufi was like a Kangol.
Kufi little.
I guess I just never.
It's like the black.
As a kid, this picture of me with a kufi and dashiki on because my parents are mad Afrocentric.
Wait, remember? What'd you say?
It's a black yarmulke.
It is a black yarmulke. Yo, that's exactly what it is.
Yo, you remember that the hat I bought from your company on my big ass head looked like a kufi?
Oh yeah,
it's like a Scully. I lost that in the car. In a Via. No, it's bright. It's because it wear a kufi don't mean he bright. Because he's trying to say, like, just because he looks distinguished doesn't mean he's smart.
Makes a lot of sense. I just thought it was right. I've been rapping right for 10 years.
And then he rhymes it with, because you don't understand him, it doesn't mean any nice.
Yeah.
It just means you don't understand all the bullshit that he writes.
It's a Uchi Wally Wally.
God, it's such a good fucking song.
That should have been
the diss. Black or Lost or is it?
I just wanted to tell both of you guys that that's my goat.
All I'm gonna say is we're not gonna say that in this building right now.
Yo, I say it wherever the fuck.
We're not dissing Nas and Mass Appeal, bro.
I ain't dissing Nas.
There's only one goat. There's only be one goat.
I never diss Nas. Nas got direct deposit. I ain't dissing that nigga.
Well, so just taking a quick left turn. I think we're gonna introduce a new segment this week. We'll come up with a more clever name, but it's who you unfollowed this week.
Yeah,
and obviously we all live in we live in the world, the day and age of social media, and you know we all find ourselves just scrolling our Instagram feed, and if you're like me, every day I'm like, why the fuck do I follow this person? So I think Kerry Nixon, maybe start off. Who are you unfollowing this week?
Kevin Hart, bro.
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart. What you got against? Everyone loves Kevin Hart.
I never loved Kevin Hart.
I'm not saying I don't really like
it. Yeah, I don't like Kevin Hart.
Seriously funny.
I can think of very specific times in college where Kevin Hart nights were.
Kevin Hart makes it, I mean, yeah, but
this is my question.
Nigga, you've been out of school for like a decade.
I know, but I mean, it still matters. Like, it's like, you know,
it really ain't been a decade, and if it was, I'd be scared because that'd be a decade.
This is my thing. Is Kevin Hart funny?
No.
Nah, his first names were really funny.
What makes Kevin Hart funny?
If you had
to pinpoint,
I'm gonna tell you right now.
What makes him funny?
The thing is,
I know that's a hard thing to define.
I think that in general, I think he has really funny delivery. Or had really funny delivery. I think that his brand of delivery is overplayed now because one, he just does it all the time, and two,
he does.
It's just like other people use it. It's just not original anymore. He only had that one way to say jokes, and it's worked for Chris Rock. That's worked for a number of other.
Yeah, but Chris Rock is Chris Rock.
But it's like for Kevin Hart, it's like that way of doing it. It's like it's not funny anymore because it's played out. But when he first dropped, when he first was putting out shit, I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Well, yeah, but see, to me, that's not necessarily the mark of a good comedian. Like if you're
maybe a good one, but not a great one.
If your shtick wears off. And then your appeal kind of goes with it. Like I don't really. You
but
know,
but
I don't
that's
know.
Everything I feel like you now. Should be able. I don't think we can hold them to because just in terms of music and everything else. It's like the lifespan of things being cool or awesome. It just dissipates so quickly.
Sure, and I don't know if that's fine. His fault. But Kevin Hart is a mega star. Mm-hmm. So I think us holding him to that like that standard is fair.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, a lot of it is just over exposure. Saturation. But because he's in every other movie, he's doing the same type of delivery. He's Kevin Hart in every single movie.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? That was essentially Cat Williams' argument. He's like, yo.
Yeah, but Cat never reached.
But Cat Williams is the same shit. Like, what's the difference? Nah, Cat Williams is one guy.
Cat Williams is way funny.
He's funny, but he's one. He has one gun. Like he's not yeah. a.
Cat never reached the heights.
Three every time.
No, he never did. Not even close. Of course not. I mean, most comedians.
Sam Buki.
Kevin Hart has arguably reached maybe heights most comedians never have.
Yeah, I mean, not arguably. That's not arguable. Yeah.
That is 100% true. Like, that's like, insane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's 100%.
As a fucking joke teller, as a class clown. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he reached like a five most famous people in the world kind of
stature,
level.
Yeah, no, he's beyond.
You know what's funny? I feel like if somehow he wasn't as much of a hustler, businessman type, we could easily be in a space where Kevin Hart is working on his like indie com that gets him an Oscar nom and gets him back in your graces level. Instead, he's doing, you know, movies with Tiffany Haddish and like doing a, you know, dumb web series because he never fell off. But he easily could have. And we could be in a spot where like he's doing something real funny. Because the thing about Kevin Hart also is like as much as he's like the Wonder Bread of comedy, he also has like deep roots. Like I remember he was on everyone knows the big show that made Judd Apatow was Freaks and Geeks, right? It had that crazy cast with like Seth Rogen and all these people.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I never knew about that show until I think I was watching HBO and they showed a clip of it.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that show existed.
It's insanely influential, like how many people were on it. Like the cast of it is just like Paul Rudd. But what's crazy was before Freaks and Geeks, Judd Apatow had like a less sophisticated show. I think it was called Undeclared. Mm. And Kevin Hart had like a bit role on that. And like, I think Judd Apatow like gave it to him because he was like just hustling in the comedy scene. Yeah. So he has like those deep comedy.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Paper Soldiers. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? He was in fucking, he was in Scary Movie 3. He was in such random shit where it was like, he seemed like he was in like comedy.
Yeah, he was in everything.
Where it was like he's not he. This is as far as he's gonna go. When I saw Scary Movie 3, I did not think that Kevin Hart would be where he is now at all.
What blew him up?
It was that first special. It was Grown Little Man, bro. Grown Little Man.
That was he wasn't ready.
It was his first, but no, that second one. The first one was Grown Little Man. The second one was the one where he's like, he's not ready.
Seriously funny.
But was so that's my question. Was that what blew him up, or did he blow up when that? All
right, so I think I'm a Grown Little Man put him on a map. Seriously Funny blew him up.
Yeah.
All that shit, like, I remember going to I was in high school when Seriously Funny came out. I was a senior, I think.
Yeah.
2009, I believe. There was no anticipation. No one was like, I gotta run home to see this Kevin Hart special, da da. It was just kind of a thing that was on. And I think this was one of this. I remember this specifically was the first year that Twitter was like a universal thing. We'll talk about it on Twitter. So everybody just happened to be on Twitter while this thing is on. So we start laughing about it.
And
the next day, bro. Every, I mean, I'm talking about people that you never had a comedy special conversation with in your life. You're reciting lines to each other.
Yeah, I think that was a special where he had his moments of, these are jokes that people want to tell. These are, because you know how, like, I think Cat Williams was like, oh, Sam Tiffany had his joke. It's like Kevin Hart, his jokes, the jokes that you can kind of pinpoint to him, came from that special. It's like, these are
Kevin Hart. Wait, but let me ask you an important question. Were they jokes or were they like,
no, they were jokes.
Liners?
They were jokes.
They were jokes. Because
like really, really, I know, like, he wasn't ready, but I don't know the joke. Like, yeah, I just know that line.
They were definitive his jokes.
His pops got his ass whooped, and he was saying he's not ready. He wasn't ready.
But that's not a joke.
No, the joke was funny. He's talking about his pops got kicked.
The like, no nipples.
He got his ass whooped.
The no nipples is the one that's always going to be classic.
She ain't got no nipples.
Because that to me was the perfect example of a Kevin Hart.
And Uncle Richard Jr., Save With Your Chest. That's where all that came from. Save With Your Chest.
Wait, Paper Soldiers was his first movie.
That's the first time I've ever seen him before.
I know, but that's fair, but I would have thought he was in.
What year was that?
No, this is his Wikipedia. His IMDb is probably different. Oh. Wait.
He might have been something like lowbrow.
Super, not really side note. Kevin Hart is how old? What's your best guess?
I'd say 36.
You spot on 39, yeah.
I am? Yeah. He had to be.
You know what? I think in my really mind, good. I thought he was one of those
Kevin
guys.
Kevin Hart's not Asian at all.
See, I thought I was going to look it up, and he was going to be like 44 and just like looks really good for his age.
I figured it was in his
30s. Like, I just sort of assumed that. I don't know why. Sometimes I do that with people.
I've seen very young specials of him, and it wasn't too long ago. That's how I know.
You want to guess his middle name? I'll give you three choices. All right. Okay. Darius, Darnell, or Roderick?
Roderick. Because why would you say Roderick otherwise?
Gary?
That's too good.
Darius, Darnell, or Roderick? Darnell.
No, son of a bitch. Why did you say Roderick?
I'm just creative.
Oh, come on. That's bullshit. See, that's the type of shit I hate.
It was a sound thing. Like, I knew it was Darnell, so with Darius, similar. Roderick.
Why would you do that so fast? He does like a Roderick. That's why I also picked it.
No, honestly, you know how when you do that, like, which one is it? Say it again.
Is that Roderick like Gucci Man or Roderick like
Roderick? I think Gucci Man's Roderick. Because he was Roderick
Davis. No, it's Roderick.
He says Roderick Davis.
No, he says Roderick.
He says Roderick Davis.
Listen, after Tyrod Taylor, then I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't even know. So you're unfollowing him, but why? You didn't say why you're unfollowing him. Because he's just not funny anymore.
No, it's the cat. Did you see his response to the Cat Williams thing?
Can you give us like a 10-second summary of this?
The Cat Williams thing is just he went on a morning show.
Cat Williams
went on a morning show, I think, in Atlanta.
Right.
It was hosted by, I forget the woman's name, which is terrible, but it's she's a chick from
Housewives? Candy Burrs? Or,
I think she's a Smith.
Okay, keep going.
Something Smith. Either way, she's a respected person in the comedy community in Atlanta.
Okay.
And she holds a show. She's interviewing Cat Williams, and they started going back and forth about his resume. And at first, it was very, you know, it was really very civil. And then she said something that I think made Cat like maybe perk his eyebrows up. Like maybe he felt like she was trying to be funny, so he started really going at her. Like she went toe to toe with him because I think she wanted to prove that like this is her arena, like she's built for this type of shit. But then he got into super Cat Williams mode and started saying shit like, "I wouldn't be worried about size, bitch. You big on the radio." And then it was just kind of a slaughter.
So where's Kevin Hart coming?
It was just kind of a slaughter fest from there. Kevin Hart comes in because obviously, like, it's almost like
Wanda Smith.
Whenever something happens in basketball, they ask LeBron about it. So Kevin Hart.
Oh, is that it?
That's all it is. Kevin Hart went on the Breakfast Club. Okay. They asked him about it, and he went on this fucking.
He was on with Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah. Holier than thou. Like, oh my God, I'm the guardian angel of all comedians that don't have a rap sheet, and it's just like, come on, bro.
Talk shit about Kat.
He kind of. It's just so self.
And what did Tiffany Haddish say?
Well, Haddish
did
was
she
just
say anything
sitting
or just
there,
like
appreciating the praise? Like, she's just making sure she don't say nothing to fuck up a promo.
Okay, so then why do you go with Tiffany? And then Kat turned around and talked shit about Tiffany Haddish.
I don't know that he did that. Did he do that?
Yeah, that's where the whole like. I thought that was the whole headline that he shit on Tiffany Haddish.
He did that before the Kevin Hart thing came about, because he was just talking about like she brought up. I think she brought up Kevin Hart in relation to his
Wanda
resume.
Smith.
Yeah. Or something like that. Whatever she
you're
said.
You're not
to
doing
bring
a good
his
job telling the story, man.
No, look, I don't have.
I don't know the story. I'm like trying to direct you. I don't even know the fucking story.
Look, it's.
I just know the headlines were, Cat Williams rips Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. America's Sweetheart.
I heard that shit.
But they weren't. Yeah, I heard it. Oh yeah, no. UFOs,
yeah, we got these really good microphones, and they're picking up weird shit.
That shit, yo. That's some I Am Legend shit, bro. That sound like people about to kick in the fucking glass.
Well, you want to hear a really fucked up story about I Am Legend?
Yo, if you listen close enough, you might hear Jay Electronica's album.
Jay Mahamadan, Rahman, the Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
I'm done.
No, so I saw I'm Legend the night it came out in Tallahassee for the midnight showing. And you know that scene where
what month was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was December.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that. I was graduating college.
I don't like that.
That was actually the night before my last final. One day, if we have time, I'll tell that story. Anyway, we're in the movie, and there's that scene with his dog where he has to kill his dog because it's got infected or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like an emotional scene. You know, it's like, you know, shit's deep. And then out of nowhere, someone yells, "Michael Vick!" The whole fucking audience just cracks up laughing. It ruined that whole fucking scene. But I also had to give the guy credit. Like, it was very funny. Because it was all, this was like right around the Michael Vick shit had happened.
That is a mad one. Yo, so speaking of Iron Legend, kind of, have y'all ever seen a UFO?
Have I ever seen a UFO?
Have you ever seen a UFO?
I've seen some shit in the sky. I don't know.
I think you want to ask that, like, have I ever seen a Tesla?
No, I'm saying, have you ever seen a UFO?
I mean, you realize zombies aren't aliens.
Right. I know, I'm saying, but it's not the same. Independence Day, what's that? All right, so yesterday, right?
Men in Black.
Yeah. So yesterday, I was in Bed-Stuy, right? I'm
heading home. Man, so you ever seen a UFO? Nah, all right, so let me tell you, I was in LA yesterday.
So, like, nah, bro, I was drunk as off the rum punch.
I was
smoking a joint on cakes.
I was very lit. I was very lit off of the unofficial sponsor, Pearls, Trinidadian Big Shop. And I was on my way home, Bed-Stuy, and I'm in an Uber, about to hit the corner to my block, and I look out the window, and I didn't see a UFO, but I saw an NOU.
I was going to say you saw your ex.
Nah, I saw NOU.
NOU? What's an NOU?
A nigga on a unicycle.
I knew N was nigga. I'm proud of that.
That shit was crazy.
I knew it was
this nigga was on a motherfucking unicycle.
No, like,
he might as well have been a fucking alien.
Come on,
never
bro.
Seen
you seen that shit?
I've never seen
you ain't seen the dogs?
He had a do-rag on. He was wearing a do-rag and a fucking wife beater. And he was on, and the flag was flapping. And he's on the unicycle by himself. I'm like, bro, going down no street.
That was a globetrotter.
I couldn't believe my fucking, I couldn't believe my eyes, bro. That shit might as well have been a UFO. But all right, so who we unfollowed this week? I have
Who are you unfollowing?
I had to unfollow, unfortunately, Georgia Smith because
what?
I am too attracted to her, and I feel like I'm gonna end up having somebody post some shit that I say to her in her comments when I get older and famous, and I'm just afraid of that situation occurring. So I'm taking the smoke away from myself. Avoiding the smoke completely. I'm just doing my
love. She's pretty.
She's fucking fire,
give
bro.
Give her that.
Jesus Christ.
She's milk.
That and something
she's
else.
She's milk, for sure.
She's holding. How was her album?
I wouldn't know.
It was good. I think she played into her comfort zone too much. Where it was like,
I'm playing to her comfort zone.
Hey, watch it, man. That's my wife, Future.
Yeah, you unfollowed her.
That's my South London ting. But
in London,
excuse me.
Wow, you gotta
like
edit
a Dungeon
that
Dragon.
You wanted to edit that shit.
Kiss Georgia Smith with that mouth.
Hey, she like it.
So doesn't she have like some super corny boyfriend?
Yeah, she has some.
Yeah, he's less wavy than.
He's so whack. He's as corny as Issa's light skinned nigga in Insecure right now.
Why niggas can't be worried about being cool, bro. The chick's out here going for the vulnerable dude with the links.
But yeah, it's a
poetry book.
So yeah, I don't follow Georgia.
Damn, bro. R.I.P. to Georgia Smith's or to Clark's thirst for Georgia Smith.
Now,
I give it a solid 6 days to follow her again.
I'm gonna be back on it because you know what it is. Complex always posts picture of her, and it's like I'm gonna want to see the official and look at her story.
Georgia's fine. How old is she now? 21.
She don't know.
I didn't mean to be like the cop.
That is a great segue.
That was so
between about that Drake shit.
Wow.
So what's the fucking story here? Drake's dating a very, very cute girl who's 18.
Who's she's the daughter of
that's
who is
weird.
It? The dude who
he's not 30,
he worked with Janet Jackson and shit. What's his name?
Oh, Jimmy Jam.
Jimmy Jam's daughter, right?
Okay.
And so she's 18 right now.
Okay.
Now
it's not that crazy.
No. All right. So here's the thing.
Weird. Though.
It's not weird. It's not weird right now.
It is weird.
It's not weird this year.
Oh yeah.
But the reason why it's weird is because there's pictures of him putting heart emoji eyes under her pictures 2 years ago when she was 16. That's weird. Fucking weird,
bro. Yeah, anytime so anytime you hear about someone dating an 18-year-old, it's
because weird. You were attracted before she was 18.
Exactly, it's weird to me because yeah. You didn't just wake up on her 18th birthday like right. Hey, chick.
Well,
like,
maybe you did if you didn't know of her.
He's a whole 10 years older.
What
bro.
Are the odds, bro? Like it plotting on.
Because the thing is, when she was born, he was 10. Like he was in fifth grade. It's weird, bro. And especially being Drake, the fact that you're one probably one of the most richest 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 people in the world, have access to every chick you want,
and
you're
entertainers.
You're stuck on an 18-year-old.
I didn't even say.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I mean, is there anything to the idea that like if you're that famous, like you want like a clean slate kind of thing, like someone who doesn't have like
that sounds sick, bro.
I don't know. I do.
Conceptually, I get what you're saying though. Yeah. It's like you know, you don't want to be, you don't want to like Dick Carucci again.
Fronts too, like the fact that she's Jimmy Jam's daughter. Like she's obviously not, you know, looking for a come up. Jimmy Jam's wealthy,
very
influential '90s producer. Janet Jackson. Who else?
Tons of others.
Boys and Men, I think.
Yeah.
You know, she's got that. She's very pretty. Like
she's gorgeous.
She's
a beautiful young lady.
Is she Drake's usual type, like with the voluptuousness?
She's not very. No? I mean, I don't want to go too deep into her non-thickness.
I mean, I'm just saying,
but
we seen this.
She's not all that.
Yo, I still can't believe.
What's her IG?
Jimmy Jam Dota.
Teen Bop. Kids Bop.
Kids Bop Volume 4.
Yo, is Bop a, is that like a slang here?
That's business bop.
I mean, for a girl, like she's a bop. I know a bopper.
I wonder if Jimmy Jam's daughter is trending.
I think bopper's old.
Bopper.
I hate bopper.
Did I ever tell you about Chippies?
Chippy Chippy.
Exactly. Shout out to Sheck West. When I was like 15, we used to always hang out at the movie theaters. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking for Shorty's IG and I came across the Balenciaga hat.
Oh, that's kind of fire. When I was like 15, the spot to hang out was the movie theaters, right? And I remember, you know, we had to get dropped off there, right? Because like when you live in the suburbs, you can't just like take the train. Mm-hmm. So my friend's dad, he was always older than like everybody else's parents. Like he was like a good, like if my dad was 40 and my dad was on the older side, his dad was like 50, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, oh, you guys gonna go to the movie theater and hang out with the Chippies?
Oh my god.
What's the Chippies? What the fuck? Yo, but meanwhile, fucking Don Santor, that was his name, his wife, he bagged, like, she was like a good, like, 18 years younger than him. We saw some pictures, we were at his house for Thanksgiving one time, we saw some pictures of them from the 80s. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I see you, Don. Wow. I see Agnes.
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 Agnes. How do you look at a baby and name it Agnes? That's fucking wild. Yo, somebody wrote on Twitter the other day and said, how do you look at a baby and name it Paul?
Helga.
That's Paul fucking Paul. Paul's Paul? A biblical.
How do you look at a baby and say, this is Paul? Paul is such a 35-year-old
No, you're right. There really are those names where it's like, that's never a young person.
You can't be a 10-year-old Paul,
my dad
bro.
My dad's name is Lincoln, bro. Imagine being Lincoln as an infant.
Was he born Lincoln? He was born Lincoln?
Was he born Lincoln?
Yeah, that was a dumb question. My bad.
Nah, he changed that for a while. He just went presidential with the shit.
I'm gonna chill.
But
you kind of told us like your dad's like in love with like the American dream kind of thing, right? Like a lot of West Indian shit.
It's not so much the appeal of the concept of the American dream itself. It's just like that innate like Americanization. Like that seems like it fits right in.
Because you know what it is? It's not rooted in them having a history or like really thinking about what these people did to people. It's kind of like,
it's really a fair thing.
Lincoln, right? Abraham Lincoln is a good guy, so we're going to name my child after him. It's not
I think it's also very much a fear thing, like just that fear of like, you know, being beholden to something that people might not understand.
Or picking a weird name where people are like, oh, I'll make fun of my kid because his name is this.
Right. Like I've actually had conversations with my dad. Yeah. He would kill me if I was telling the good thing he doesn't listen to shit. including me. But no. Jesus, like I remember
it was dark as fuck.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. But he's had conversations where he was like, you know, he would change the way he pronounced certain things at the office because like, you know, that accent was like a red flag. It was like, oh, we can't trust that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is like the 90s too, where, you know, right. I mean, if you wear a fucking pink shirt to work, you might be a terrorist.
What the fuck? If you're a pink shirt terrorist, you're most obvious terrorist in history.
I know, right? I'm just saying, Spencer, like, anything out of line.
That's ironic. I was about to say who I unfollowed this week. And literally as I loaded my phone, there he was, but not on his account. So Kanye West made his return to Instagram not long ago. Like, what, like 2-3 weeks ago?
He's annoying.
And it wasn't long before I had to unfollow the man because, yo, Kanye West's Instagram is like a, like, InfoWars meets fucking rap, hip-hop heads Reddit meets fucking interior design digest meets someone who doesn't know how to do screenshots. The thing is, ugh, man, Kanye, where do you even start with this guy? Like, here, I'll read you one of the posts is him with a photo of what's obviously from the dictionary, and it's the letter A,
oh my God,
and it has like words that are highlighted, right, which is like weird enough with no comment, right? And then a few minutes later, he posts a picture where he's talking to, let me see if I can find this, he's talking to one of his friends who he does a writer, and he said, what's wrong? Ryder said, what's wrong with being excited? This is a text conversation. Mm-hmm. Kanye said, we're less clear and easier to manipulate when excited. Be calm. Always.
Damn. Yo, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Wait, so then Ryder responds, and Ryder says back, manipulation isn't always negative. Music manipulates people to dance and feel good, for instance. And being in love manipulates people in all sorts of illogical ways. And I read that, and I was like, oh, Ryder's onto something. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Kanye responds back with a fucking picture of his highlighted dictionary, and he says, when I first read it, I thought, oh, this isn't bad, so I highlighted it. Then I noticed the word deviously. If there's any way for something to be used in a bad way, I am not highlighting it.
Yo,
get the fuck out of here.
The wild part is that the craziest part is that that's fucking crazy on Kanye's Instagram, but that's not even the news. Like, the news is about him and this fucking Nick Cannon
Drake
and Tyson Beckford.
Yeah, how deep do we gonna go into? Because I'll admit that was kind of interesting.
Fucking funny.
So Kanye basically like did this like, you know, he's trying to be like the kids. He's literally like casually taking a video of himself as he walks by the train tracks, and he's like, Nick Cannon, like, don't talk. I know you fucked my wife. Or what does he say? Did he say fuck? He's like,
he said, I know you dated my wife.
Yeah. But like, don't talk about her. And Drake, like, how are you gonna make a song? Actually, I was talking to my girl about this, right? For Kanye to say that Drake Kiki should know better than to release a song where he says Kiki because his girlfriend is synonymous, and he made the example of if he dated a girl named
Renice
yeah, and he said Riri. No, bro, your girl is not known as Kiki. Yeah, like, you can make the case.
I would never.
If he said KK, maybe.
Yes.
Just like that Wiz Khalifa. Remember Wiz Khalifa?
Right. You think he would learn with that.
Right.
If he said Kim, then I'd be like, okay. Like, if Drake put out a song amidst beefing with Kanye, mm-hmm, and the song was like, Kim, do you love... Like, okay, mm-hmm, maybe. Because she's the most famous Kim. Mm-hmm. But Kiki? Like, the
no
fuck?
One associates no one Kiki associates with that, your woman, bro. Like, you're reaching...
If anything, Kim is the one that tried to make that link. Because you remember, mm-hmm, after the song came out, she was the one on Twitter like...
No, oh, it predated that. It got highlighted.
We thought that, but what I'm just saying,
for her to actually tweet that, though, she's bringing attention to... She's bringing validation.
But it was... She didn't... It was like...
It happened years ago and somebody brought it back up. It was an old tweet.
Right.
That's what
That's the whole point, bro.
But regardless, and I guess maybe because it resurfaced, Kanye was like, oh, well, he must know. It resurfacing happened because the song came out. So it's like, there's no way that Drake made the song talking about Kiki.
Of course.
Because it's like, he made the song about Kiki, and then the old tweet resurfaced.
I thought that was
But not only that, it's not like he put out a song that has some bars, and he chose the song where his bars could be construed. It's a fucking smash hit he put out. And the point Kanye is making is like, oh, you should know better. Like, while I'm I forget what he said, but like, while I'm in a medicated,
To be honest with you, I think Kanye is just, I think he's delusional in certain ways, and I think that because here's the thing. All right, you don't want Drake to allude to have fucking fucked your girl. But there are people who very blatantly talked about fucking a girl that you're not making mention of. Yeah. One being Ray J made an entire song
because no
about
one cares, you know. Like,
but it's like this video of him smashing your bitch.
I guess he can't fuck
like
with
straight up. Exactly. Yeah. Also, I mean, right.
Scooty Bice.
So, but it's like, so you're okay with like Ray J publicly having fucked a girl and Chris Humphries' bum ass
Fuck me, girl. Was his wife.
Ray J will buy that.
But you're upset that Drake is kind of in some way in your brain alluding to it. Get the fuck.
You know what's funny is I think Ray J
would buy that nigga and his Tumblr ass Instagram. True. Boom, boom.
That's a fact. What's funny is what Kanye is actually responding to is how, like, you know, the whole like Drake, like Kiki being Kim is like some whole like Reddit conspiracy theory, and like took a left to, like, because he lives in Calabasas and he took a left. So it is very fitting that Kanye would fucking like buy into some conspiracy theory shit and try to like legitimize it on his Instagram.
You saw Nick Cannon's clapback? You saw Nick Cannon get back at him?
I saw that. That was funny. Nick Cannon was like, I'm gonna wait for this train to go by. Like you said, mind you, it was a bus.
Yeah, it was a bus, yeah. But he was like, I'm gonna keep saying what I'm saying though. Like, I'm not gonna not say what I'm saying.
Nick Cannon didn't even really get that far out of pocket. Like, academics, he was referring to when he was on Everyday Struggle.
Yeah, can't fuck with that nigga neither.
Nick Cannon?
Hell no. No, absolutely not.
What way?
Because, I mean,
just in terms of trying to get him out the pain, that's not happening.
Yeah, he's very much rooted in too many. He puts so much money in people's pockets that he's beloved by. There's way too many people that love him. Kanye's in a bubble of people who he's constantly keeping rich, but Nick Cannon has just done too much for too many people for people to get him out the pain.
Nah, yeah, definitely not.
You know what's funny? This may or may not make sense, but I thought it was funny. I saw Don C. The day, where was Kanye talking about Don C and like how the devolution
when he first went back to Chicago and was doing the radio interviews? He's like, Don C was around me,
right? So the day that interview surfaced, or at least the day after they did it or whatever, I saw him at a Stance event a few blocks
away. With Cam, right?
Right. Yeah, and I remember
some episode Cam too was at that same Stance store.
That was actually the first time I'd ever seen Don C in person. But I remember thinking, number one, he's extremely small, and number two. Yeah. I remember standing inside and I was like, man, am I really looking at the person that's going to save Kanye West? It just didn't feel like... It just felt really weird. I was like, really? Like, I mean, no disrespect to Don C at all. I'm just saying, like,
I don't think anyone could save him.
Like, really, bro? Like,
yeah. How do y'all feel
about... Like, you're going to place all of this on this? Like, this dude is just out here trying to live his damn life.
How do y'all feel about it?
What do you mean?
The rebrand.
Fake as fuck.
It's not so funny.
The Kanye back to my roots rebrand.
I can't even call it a rebrand, bro. It's not really a rebrand.
What do you mean? It's totally what it is.
Well, yeah, come. He's going back to... I'm going back to Chicago. I'm going back to... I'm going to
move. I guess what I mean is that it's such an awful attempt at a rebrand that I can't even honestly call it that. Mm-hmm. It's a shit show. It's like, what are you, like, we're not talking about...
There are people who are buying into it. Like,
are there?
They are. They're like, oh...
Well, yeah, of course there are.
All you gotta do is go on, like, High Snobiety, go on Complex, and look in the comments, and people are like, that's the Kanye I know. And all that. It's like, y'all believe this? Less than a year ago, he was saying this Trump shit. I feel like
those are the people that never really wanted to... I mean, I guess I didn't want to go away either, but those are the people that never really went away. They just, like, knew they... Like, I don't know. I don't think he's... See, what's funny is who Kanye needs the rebrand from, it's like voters. Like, he needs the moderates, right? Mm. Like, he doesn't need the, like, hype beast who loved him, who maybe, like, quieted their... Yeah. Right, who maybe quieted their love for a minute.
Yeah.
He needs, like, the people that used to, like, you know, buy his album because they couldn't deny how good his music was. Like, yeah. And what he needs for those people is he needs fucking good music. You think Yandy is going to be that?
I won't know.
So, I didn't really think it was going to be an album, but he seems to be really pushing it.
I'm still stuck on it.
But that's the thing.
People, go ahead, Carrie. My bad.
People are buying into this shit.
What do you mean though?
I'm asking. Like,
people are buying into it.
Because to me, bro, this is such a caricature.
Yeah.
Of what it is to be an artist in 2018. I mean, it's satire to me at this point. Like, it's not actually happening. It's only happening so he can say it's happening. Like, does that make sense? Like, I feel like it's not actually a real thing. It's just a thing that he wants to do. It's almost like a social experiment.
Yeah.
Like,
it has feel a feel of that.
Me, dog.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, and not to cut you off again, but my thing is, like, more so that people are buying in, I can't accept the fact that he believes that people would buy into this.
Mm.
Like, does he actually think that?
I think he does. Yeah, I mean,
that is the problem.
He's seen people who have Kanye, like, their Instagram account name is Kanye. Their fucking Twitter name is. There's people who are obsessed, and I think he's just seeing those people. But the thing is, for me,
but again, that's not who he needs back.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But he's convinced himself, like, if I can get them back,
yeah,
their Twitter handle is Kanye for life.
Like, exactly. It's like those people are not going anywhere. Right,
they never left.
Does he understand the audacity of using his hometown as a trampoline for a week-long rollout? Like,
and that's the thing. I mean, we talked about this in a previous episode.
That is like
the only time we see
taking pictures of your childhood home, bro. Paint, plaster.
The only time we see him is when he wants to sell us something, and it couldn't be more obvious. It's like, all right, Kanye disappears. He's fucking who knows where he. What he does is he fucking disappears. He comes back in a new location usually, and is trying to sell you something. He does something very provocative to get all the news attention. Then he disappears. He's done it twice this year already.
I actually just got
like really he disappeared from Wyoming. Now he's in Chicago again. It's like he just disappears, pops up somewhere, does something provocative, and moves on. It's a fucking cycle, and it's like as someone who respects his music and who's been a fan of his music for so many years. It's like I'm tired of you. Like it seems almost like contrived through the label almost. Like you're following what the label's telling you to do. Like, yo, go out there, do this, and then because it doesn't seem natural. It's not like what you would expect from Kanye West.
Bro, I literally just got so aggravated because it's real time setting in that this is not just one big social experiment.
Right.
And I'm having a really hard time grappling
with that. You said something, Casey, that I thought was kind of interesting in that, because he makes more money now off non-music, right? Yeah. Like there was a period where he was part of his angle was like, oh, I'm broke, blah blah blah. It seems pretty clear that he's doing pretty well off the Adidas thing, right? Like one of the headlines that he was definitely running with was like this, like Yeezy's like $1 billion business, blah blah blah, and. I think what he has managed to do, and I actually didn't think about it until you were just saying this, but what he's managed to do is at least come back enough from, as he loves to dub, oh, the sunken place. How many fucking times has he used that? But he's come back enough. He's distracted from his negatives enough that, like, he can put out a big release of the Yeezys, which came out this weekend, and it was the widest release ever. It was it was crazy. I looked on Adidas.com at 5 o'clock on Friday. They dropped, I think, 11 o'clock on Friday, and at 5 o'clock on Friday, from size 7.5 to 9.5, you could still buy sneakers. But that was the point. It was a large release.
Yeah.
And I think all he's managed to do between all this, getting with Chance. You know, I don't know, like being associated with Kim, who now is like associated with like prison reform, which is weird, but whatever. It's definitely not like MAGA. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's getting black women out of jail. Like, I guess it's whatever.
A black woman.
Well, she's working on some bigger things, allegedly. Sure. What's his name? Van Jones were at the with the White House. No, but what I'm getting is he's managed to be acceptable enough that you're like, oh, I can go buy the Yeezys again. And I'm going to be honest, it works. Because, like, I was tempted to buy the Yeezys because I've always wanted a pair. I love all white shoes, first of all.
They're comfortable.
They're comfortable. I've actually, do you still wear them?
Nah, I haven't worn them. If you look at them, they're dusty as fuck. They look disgusting. I'd have to wash the fuck out of them.
What you want to let those go for? What size are you wearing? Nah, I don't want your stinking ass feet.
Nah, I'm just, and honestly, I don't forget who said it. It might have been, I think it was Budden on his podcast. The fucking sole of those shoes slide out with your foot. When you take your sock out, the fucking
whole sole. My Roshis used to do that.
They slide right the fuck out.
Yeah, I think.
It's like, dude, like, how could you make such expensive sneakers and they're this shitty quality?
So just like
put a pair of Boosts that do that.
Boosts, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just putting a little bow on this kind of thing, I would just make the case that all he has to do now is every so often do something controversial to stay in the news, and every so often bring it back home. So to speak, enough that you can find him acceptable enough to like maintain because
you know what you're right.
Want to sell products.
This is why you're right, because people want to like Kanye. People want him to reach.
I
want to
like Kanye.
Me too. I've been maybe the most adamant person against him that I know. Mm-hmm. And I deep down though,
you want
to the anger is because I want him to be like, yo, I'm sorry for this.
Yeah.
And mean it because he said it before and they went outside and said, oh, what about Trump? He said, I like that guy to Fox News. So it's like I want him to retrace his steps and be the Kanye that made me a fan of him.
I think in a lot of ways he still is, but there's so many parts of him that are just so far gone. Word to Drake.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of middle-aged dudes acting like children, dog. That shit is tired.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be a guy who talks about, like, creating as a kid, you know, like being childlike and, You know,
I mean, I feel like you can do that and not be a clown, like for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, not for sure. That's true.
Yeah. So that's who we unfollowed this week. Going a little bit left of a direction. I'm a fantasy football veteran. You know, I won one of my leagues last year. Came in second in the other one. You know.
Wow.
No. Now, crazy enough, I won one league and lost the other on the same play. If you remember late into the season, the Juju Smith Texans Steelers game, Juju Smith caught a big touchdown that won me and lost me.
Oh, last year I stopped watching football real early.
So right, so this year is your first year, Nixon, doing very fantasy, first. And Clark, you don't do fantasy.
No.
So can I get an outsider perspective on fantasy football from you, Casey?
It's dumb as fuck.
Have you ever thought about doing it?
That's what I thought.
I've done fantasy basketball because I'm like, I actually knew the players and I knew who to pick. Yeah, because it's like, and it's not a fucking day long process.
Basketball takes work, bro. You gotta set your lineup all the time.
Well, yeah, yeah.
With football, you just set it like once a week.
If you basketball, you mainly only gotta set it in advance.
Yeah, and I mean, I start the season and I do like the first 5 weeks of games and then you check it's fine.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You're a pretty righteous guy. Is there any element?
I'm not fucking righteous at all.
You're kind of righteous.
All right, man, I'll take that.
Is there any element of fantasy sports that kind of like sits in a weird place with you because of the whole like. No. Like, literally in my league, like, we do. Like, let me put it to you this way. Like, literally in my league, you got 12 white guys who do an auction draft.
See, I know. I mean, I never thought about it. I'm so.
It's literally called an auction
draft. I'm so far removed from it that I don't
think about it. Where we bid on players.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
It's kind of wild.
That makes me not want to involve myself in it at all, to be honest with you. But, I mean, to be honest with you, people have always made
the kind Nixon's enjoying this way too much.
People always made a comparison of, when it comes to black players, they're on the auction block and in terms of the drafts and shit like that. It's like, they're on the auction block to make fucking millions of dollars, right, bro. Like, let's not equate slavery, which was pretty much 100% negative, to right. being like a fucking sports star. Yo, Spencer, that's fucking loud, nigga.
I'm trying to get an M&M out of the bag.
Oh my God. Well, that shit sounds like you're talking about five.
There's one M&M.
Oh my God.
That's so loud.
Send this man home.
Sorry, guys.
He's hungry.
Jeez. But yeah, no. So slavery, to me, like, slavery is such a net negative that comparing it to fucking organized sports and right. people making millions of dollars doing it is just so disrespectful to like what slavery really was. That's like, don't make that comparison. Like, so slavery weren't even people. They were property.
I hear you, but it's a lot closer in concept than I think you're giving it credit for.
I'll put it like this:
like we're talking about pennies on the dollar.
But we work jobs.
The athletes aren't eating off fantasy. That's what's. You make the point about like get draft. Like,
I'm sorry, in general. No, I'm talking draft in general. In terms of real life draft, not like fantasy draft.
Think about the fact that LeBron makes $800,000 a game and he is grossly underpaid. Like,
but who gives a fuck? Sorry, I don't feel bad with LeBron. He's not saying you should feel bad.
It's not the numbers that I want you to look at. It's the percentages, bro. Like, fuck with LeBron.
Sorry, somebody makes more money off of him than he is.
Fuck what LeBron makes. Consider the fact that in the grand scheme of things, he may only be receiving 5% of.
Somebody makes more money off of LeBron than LeBron makes off of LeBron.
It's not just more money; it's the ratio. If someone's always going to make more money than LeBron because LeBron's not an owner. That's just the by design.
He will be one day.
Yeah, no, he sure will be. But just consider the fact that LeBron fucking James is being maybe cut 35%.
And
he makes like $1 million.
What's he going to make this coming year? Like in the 30s, low 30s?
33, I think.
Right. So. I think I once saw 2 or 3 years ago that like someone did some math and like his value is closer. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, closer to like $100 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that.
And that was before the new TV deal.
Right. That was before, right. Exactly. Which
think about the fact
increased that, the value of like basketball. Yeah, so think basketball. About the
fact that he may only be making 32% of the income he generates.
Well, I mean, that's maybe why he's
fucking James.
That's maybe why he's
top 1%.
He's kind of, you know, pivoting a bit and focusing a lot on other things. I mean, he's got so much with the entertainment company. That's actually a good segue. Did you guys watch The Shop? The show he has on HBO.
Yeah, I did.
I stopped and watched it, but I heard a lot about it.
Excuse me. Overall, what'd you say? Pretty good reception, right?
I think we having fucking tuberculosis and shit.
Tuberculosis.
It's crazy. I don't think there's been an episode where Carrie ain't cough like he's about to die from something.
Well, remember
you got the clap?
the last two times we recorded, I actually was sick. Like, I had to take a day off of work in the midst of that. I had some.
That's a good cover, too. If you weren't actually sick and you're trying to, like, cement the fact that you were sick at work, like, this is a really good time to do it. You're like, yo.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, could you imagine? No. Like I said, I said direct deposit. He also has PTO. Shout out to that. Yeah,
shout out to the GOAT.
Two concepts I was previously not familiar with.
So but, you didn't see the shop.
I didn't see the shop. I heard
Nixon, you saw it, right?
I did see the shop.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was really good.
Just on his face, like, bro, like, I mean, there are a lot of things I can say about it, and just as like a fan, like I'm
not fucking with white people.
I've never had a hero that wasn't related to me.
Yeah.
LeBron's the first.
That's not true.
You spoke on our podcast about Mr. Stabbing Dicks himself, Carson.
Mr. Stabbing.
He was stabbing dicks.
All right, fine. As an adult, yeah. As a kid, I made some. I bought Black and Blue over a Jay-Z album.
Say that again.
I bought Black and Blue to Backstreet Boys. I had $10 and Sam Goody. I bought Black and Blue instead.
What Backstreet Boys album came out over which Jay-Z? Over the Blueprint. Black and Blueprint. Wheel of Fortune question.
Yeah, I think Black and Blue was 01. Yeah, I think it was a Blueprint. I don't remember. I was the same.
Blueprint was 01. 9/11.
Yeah. But anyway, so as an adult and someone that understands the concept even of having a quote unquote role model or hero, I've never had that in the celebrity sphere. LeBron may be the closest thing. To see him on national TV, considering everything that he has at stake in theory, mm-hmm. speaking as freely as he was. And I thought more importantly that he spoke freely. He spoke the way he would have spoken if he actually were. And that sounds cliche, but it's important because that concept is used often, but it's only used in the aesthetic sense. People don't really always promote the actual, the nuance of being just a nigga in a barbershop waiting on somebody to get a cut. You know what I'm saying? And that show, I think, did a really good job of doing that, even though you had people like Jon Stewart, like, quasi-mediating.
Mm-hmm.
And you had
people. Did you think he was in it a little too much?
I thought he might have had too much say in where the conversation went, but I also mm-hmm. feel like it
sounds like
somebody had to play that role on that show, and I'm really not mad that it was Jon Stewart.
What'd you say, Clark?
I said, sounds like this podcast a little bit. Jon Stewart the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, with that many personalities and that many people to ensure that they contribute, somebody had to kind of be like the.
I think he's making a real formidable. My fault, Kerry.
Yeah, no. I wasn't mad at the way he played that role, and I thought it was really cool to see LeBron just kind of not giving a fuck.
I think LeBron is like making a really formidable, like. He's using his platform to the best of his ability, and it's like nobody can argue with LeBron being.
Yeah, he's kind of infallible.
What could you say?
Like,
he's created a school. He has a fucking a safe space for people to talk about their issues on his show. What could you say?
One of my favorite things about this whole thing is that, like, he's doing all the things that people would have, like, celebrities and people in his position might have so many excuses for in the past.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so what you're saying is he's everything that Tiger Woods never became?
Let's go down. I mean, Tiger, Kobe. I mean,
hey, it's Tiger.
Yeah.
Yo, you know what I'm saying? The worst voicemail in history. Like, legit.
This is Tiger. I'm going to need you to change your voicemail. It's Tiger.
I could not believe my ears. I'm like, this nigga did not.
Do you remember? That's the least. Remember black part of that was what Wale song is that on? From More About Nothing. Hey, it's Tiger. That's a great song.
It's such a good.
That's such a great tape.
Damn, I gotta find.
What's the best Wale mixtape?
I think that's it. Man. More About Nothing.
More About Nothing. Thanks for announcing.
I've been a big fan of 11-1-11 for a while. I don't know if you guys remember that tape. 11-1-11.
Remind me. I do, but I forget. Remind me, 11-1-11
was a joint he put out, I think, right before Ambition.
11-1-11.
It had Bait on it originally. It had a great song called Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Remember? No, 11-1-11 was crazy really good.
He had a great stretch.
Barry Sanders. What else? Barry
Sanders.
No, you know what was on 11-1-11 That Way was dope. I'm going to tell you right now, the song on 11-1-11 that I thought was the fucking song that never took off was...
I thought that was Barry Sanders for that tape.
Fuck You, I think it was called. It sounded super weekend-y.
Was 2 Chainz on that?
No. That was on another. Oh, no, my bad. I got the name wrong. It's Passive Aggressor.
Oh, that was
so it good. Sounded like a Weekend song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember being like, yo.
There was a lot of layers to that joint.
Why doesn't he release Passive Aggressor as a single and he but never it
was
did?
That Way was off that project.
Yeah, and that way. No, That Way isn't on here.
It was a bonus. It was like a hidden bonus.
You're right. It was the last one.
Yeah.
Right, but That Way was off that.
So That Way ended up being the lead single for the Ambition album. But it was more like, you remember when they used to still do like street singles? Like the joint they knew would kind of flop, but they had the like right feature on it, so they put it out anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what That Way was for Ambition. The official first single on Ambition was Lotus Flower Bomb, but That Way was really like the first joint that they had on there.
I feel like, I thought That Way like kind of hit later.
It hit later as like a single, but technically it was the first song released off that album because it was on a mixtape.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess weird. I never really it was thought super about weird. That.
Like it had three lives, that song. Like it came out with the 11-11, mm-hmm. Right. Ran away. People forgot about it. When Ambition came back out,
mm-hmm.
People remembered, and then they pushed it. They actually pushed it as an Ambition single, which was like its third life, and only then did it get a video and all that other shit went on.
The unofficial single of Ambition was the swing that water just non chucker was the
oh that no hands
yeah
no well that was
this is what yeah, I mean
yeah,
by
yeah.
that
yeah no I think I do
Ambition was the single No Hands was the single for Ambition the way that like mixtape Wayne was the rollout for Carter 3
right
like it was the mass media collecting on the work that you had built. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Wale was going through that weird transition where he got signed to MMG after being a free agent. And, I mean, Ambition did numbers.
Oh, no, it did.
And Ambition did numbers, to your point, not because... I mean, yes, because of Lotus Flower Bomb, for sure. But Lotus Flower Bomb wasn't really anything different than Wale had previously done to some degree. That Way was what was different. I'm sorry, No Hands was what was different. So Wale put out an EP about a week or two ago, Free Lunch. What do you think of it?
That shit's hard, bro.
Yeah,
it's jamming. Like to the point where like I deliberately put it on. I was taking a walk, just running some errands, and I'm like, all right, let me see how I feel about this. I'm moving out and about. I can really listen mm-hmm. to it in my headphones, and I'm like, I walk right past the cleaners, bro. Like he was snapping like, but to the point where it's like, and Wale always has been either above average to excellent rapper. Like I can't really think of a time in his career over the last, I'd say, 6 to 7 years where I thought Wale was rapping badly. Mm. Like sure, maybe his stuff wasn't as compelling, but as a rapper, I never could say like Wale fell off.
Right.
But musically, yeah, he's had some inconsistencies. He's done some things that I felt were forced. He's done some things that I thought on that last album, Shine, I thought were really ill-advised. Some dancehall stuff.
Man, that album to be doing. Sucked.
Yeah, it was just
too much. I wanted to give it a chance. There's a couple songs.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was a couple. Nah, I liked it at first because there were certain really Wale things that I thought he was doing really well. But when I revisited it, I'm like, man.
But you see the Wale things that people don't like. Interestingly enough,
That's the other thing. He's in acquired taste to a certain extent. This Free Lunch project to me feels very much like college tour.
Like, why don't people like Wale?
Oh man,
there's so many reasons.
I know it's a lot. I know my reasons.
There are so many.
I think there's a few reasons. I think a really subtle one that gets lost sometimes is I think his and this maybe you might not see this coming, but like his delivery and his cadence and his way of speaking. The DC kind of slang is a bit off-putting. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people don't realize how nice of a rapper Wale
think
is.
Think about Meek Mill, though.
No.
But Meek Mill's loud. He has a Philly accent.
Meek Mill's not a lyricist.
I think he's harder to put somebody onto than Wale, because I think Wale has. I think in terms of his delivery,
they make different kind of music.
But yeah, but I think Wale has more of a cachet in terms of like different styles and versatility, because he has pretty girls. His songs like Pretty Girls.
For sure.
Well, whereas Meek Mill is, you're getting one thing from Meek for the most part.
I'm saying with Wale.
Also remember, for the most part, the audience is looking for. Like, you know, it's not
right. Like that, me came out with "I'm a Boss," and that's what you get from me. I'm saying with Wale, like, I'm not necessarily talking about when he does songs like a great song. Well, like for example, "Bad Man." It's crazy how many standalone really good songs Wale has. He doesn't get credit. I mean, he has. Yeah. You know, we talked about Lotus Flower Bomb. That was a massive song.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was more Miguel, I feel like, than him. But Wale has. I'm talking more about the fact that what buoys a lot of artists, and you know what I mean by buoy, it's like a weird expression,
I know what a buoy is.
Right. So like I'm using it. What? Maybe there's a better way to put it. But like what? Because I used this the other day, and someone was like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Boobies? What boobies? Somebody? No. But like what? What gives a lot of artists their like, you know, grounding point is like, yo, but he could spit. And I think Wale gets a bum rap when it, pun intended, when it comes to that, because his delivery is weird and like you sometimes can't catch what he's saying and his cadence.
He's not being direct.
It's an acquired delivery. Like, yo, I have a lot of friends who love rap who would not probably acknowledge to you that Wale is a great rapper.
I'll be one of them. I'm literally one of them.
You don't think he's a great rapper?
No, I don't think he's great.
No, I have a lot of friends.
I like him.
And I have a lot of friends like that too.
I fall in this. In terms of Wale, I'm somebody who wants to like Wale and think that there is...
Not a lot of people want to like
Wale. But I do.
I'm a big fan. I don't even know that I want
to like him. Because you know what it is? It's like I know that he has more to offer than what I am giving him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that I think he's gotten his own way too much in his fucking career. Because, I mean, the first time I ever heard him was on Nike Boots. That was, like, the first time
I was pretty rap. Early, dude.
And I was like, this dude's
out. I didn't like Nike Boots.
I liked it at the time. And, you know, from there, he had a song called Contemplate on his first album.
You like that song?
I love that
fake
song.
Fake-ass Rihanna feature.
I love that song.
I fucking hate that song,
I love
bro.
That song. Because it related to me at the moment. I was dealing with a situation where... If you listen to the song, you'd understand why somebody going through, like, some situation with their girlfriend at the time would really like that song.
Quick anecdote.
Yeah.
You remember those Pashmina scarves they used to sell?
The
little velvet joints. Everybody started copying after Kanye wore one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, like the fucking the Iraqi shit.
Yeah. I had a burgundy one, so I wrapped it around my head. I was taking like the OD emo selfie. What was my caption? Contemplate.
Really?
It was so bad, bro. It was embarrassing. If I pulled up right now, you
that's terrible. Down.
That's I thought you were going to tell that one story, but you once said about Wale that was kind of like a glitch in the system.
Oh, the video he shot by my mom's crib?
Yeah, what happened? It was weird. I just remember you telling a story once about Wale. He was like,
honestly,
your favorite
rapper.
Honestly,
that's a microcosm of why people don't like Wale. It's quick. Like, this is when Twitter was still some real-time shit that celebrities use. He tweeted out that he was going to shoot a video in downtown Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
My parents live Clinton Hill, like a minute from Barclays. Yeah. I was in Hunter College at the time, so I left class, saw the tweet, freaked out, ran home, grabbed my attention deficit hard copy, and then just went outside because there was no, like, he didn't tweet a location or that. I was just like, all right, I live downtown Brooklyn, and while he's shooting a video, I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not even get two blocks from my mom's crib while he's on the corner, like, tweeting. And I'm like, oh shit, this is some real time shit for real. And then literally as I'm walking past him, he's like, yo, he's like, Joe, what neighborhood is this? I was like, oh, fuck, Clinton Hill. And he's like, cool. He literally sends out a tweet like, yo, I'm out here at Clinton Hill, me and Marsha, diary video, some shit. I was like, oh my God. He starts walking down the street towards Pratt area where they shot the video with some bar around the corner. I'm like moseying behind him, like low-key part of his entourage, but not really, 17-year-old kid with a target back. So we get to the spot, and then he turns into this complete dick, bro. Like,
really?
Super, super dick. Like, people were rap. I mean, obviously, super you don't, dick? I mean... Greasy dick.
Oh my
God. We was waiting for that moment.
That's gonna come back around. All right, you can't tell that story on top of this story.
Yeah, yeah. That's gonna come back.
Just get back to the story.
That's gonna come back. Only one greasy dick at a time. So while but I'm just saying,
greasy
like,
dick,
you know,
might be in the episode.
Obviously, it's it's look. I'm gonna refocus the convo.
Yeah.
Well, I went outside looking for a rapper in a neighborhood with no address, and I found it.
Yeah,
like two blocks.
But what I'm saying, like, what was so bad about him? Because this kind of gets into why people don't like
Hollywood.
Him.
What was bad about him? It wasn't just that he was Hollywood. It was like he had a general misunderstanding as to why people would want to rap for him. And it's like, dude, like, if you don't understand that you're a major label rapper shooting a video at a mom and pop bar,
right,
and people want to freestyle for you, either this may not be for you, or you need to really get real about, like, what's happening here. Like, you're not just gonna get insulated because, you know, you make money now. Like, you're still a person that has to interact with the world. And he seemed to have a genuine, like, confusion as to why he would have to do that.
That's so weird, as somebody coming from DC and someone who seemingly would get why people would be rapping at him. To it's like him, he J. Cole. There's certain people where it's like you expect them to be down to earth people, or at least have the understanding of why people are.
Wait, why do you expect J. Cole? Because he dresses like a bum?
No, I mean, J. Cole's somebody who.
I was just gonna say, yes.
I feel like you're. No, I think you're kind of playing the result.
J. Cole is dressed like a crackhead, but it's like in terms of J. Cole though, he was at Ferguson. He was in the middle of the crowd without people, while televising or anything like that. So it's like he's somebody who I would assume is down to earth enough to hear somebody rap and maybe give him a shot.
Yeah, he was.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear that story happens more than I'd be surprised that Rick Ross signed a homeless nigga that rapped in front of him. So it's like it's very. Issa Muhammad.
Insecure.
Yeah. Right.
And he wasn't even letting him down easy, bro. He was like, yo, fuck up my face, bro.
Wow. No, but like, yeah, no, Wale throughout his career has had so many of those moments where it's like, damn, he doesn't know better.
Right.
He can't help himself. Like, but honestly, like, I go back to, I made that point about his weird delivery and stuff because all this stuff we're talking about, like the Wale is an asshole narrative, which like, seems like one of those narratives, like there might be some truth to it.
I mean, Twitter might be,
right?
Tells the whole
story. But this is the thing, that's still a kind of small microcosm of the general populace. Like, we forget that, like, we're pretty insulated. Like, we know we're inside baseball, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's also just like the general fan out there, you know, like the reason why Kendrick Lamar is so big is because he branches out beyond like the Twitter rap sphere, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Wale has dabbled in that. Like, Wale has hit some high highs that, like, there's a very, very short list of people that are on. And even in that realm, it hasn't clicked. And, like, maybe it's because this niche that I'm talking about, the, like, Twitter sphere, let's call it, maybe you need them to ride for you to get to that. Like, so maybe that's part of it.
The thing is similar to, like KD, like Wale will respond to someone with 4 followers.
So is it an they're both from DC?
He's just super sensitive, and it's like, and the thing is, when you expose, you can be that sensitive in real life, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think when you show that you're that sensitive on social media, all you're gonna get is trolls. Like, that's all you're gonna get because you're people know there's an opening to get attention. It's attention.
The problem is he's sensitive, and then there's a lot of stories about him being like a piece of like a jerk.
On top of
like that. I personally, like, I worked at a guy who knew a sound manager who like worked on Wale's tour and said he was an asshole. You can toss a shoe and find somebody who thinks that Wale's a jerk. That being said, one of my first interviews we actually did together. Yeah, remember
his working title?
You
Kyrie,
made three
Jamal,
people interview
the,
him.
Working title joint.
He didn't know we were going to interview him. It was a fucking mess.
And he was five mad people. Cool.
He was mad cool.
He was really cool.
I'll give him credit. He was very cool.
And that was
guy.
After I think Kaz like hopped in line for the stash or whatever ahead of us. And so he had
what's his boy too? Like they're friends.
But the thing,
Kaz warmed him up.
well, pause. But point.
It was intentional.
But point being that like. He's not somebody who I felt like wanted to have three interviews that day and would have gave such a good interview.
He didn't know
a
shit. We didn't
back.
Even have it set up.
Exactly.
This was for text or video?
We actually released it as audio.
It was so bad.
And we transcribed it. It was very like impromptu. That was when first Waldo had hooked us up with Jason. And
was this a joint where Charlamagne posed with the magazine outside the joint?
Yes.
I remember this very clearly.
And there's actually a picture of Wale, the story that ran on MTV and a few other places was a picture of Wale and Angie Martinez. And if you look in the right corner, I'm there. Because mad people are like, yo, what the fuck are you? Yeah, it's like me in the background just kind of just walking around and shit like that.
I remember Troy Ave was there. Oh, what spot was that at?
Rosenberg. And I remember you tried to give Elliot Wilson Source Magazine. He said, hell no.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the office.
Wait, we tried to get Elliot Wilson to hold the big ass promo thing during 360 weekend.
Shit. Yeah,
and he almost
why did he even go to 360?
I think he maybe was just at Brick.
Thirsty, bro. He has FOMO.
Yeah, right.
He gets FOMO a lot.
So Wale, I don't know.
We talk about the crown jewel of the album, the mixtape, which was the J. Cole feature.
Well, I think you know what? It's funny. I think it's a shame. That the standout track, the only one I remember, and I liked what I heard, but that's the only one. I feel like it's a shame that the standout track is a song with J. Cole, because I think Wale's relationship with J. Cole sort of like insists on what he's not. Like Wale standing next to J. Cole is like, is like, like if Harold Miner was associated with Kobe all the time.
Yeah. Because it's like there's a very clear, it's like if you did things the right way, if you did things better, this is what you could have been.
Yeah.
And this is
even though they're very different. And I think you know, I think you
remember Wale put J. Cole on Beautiful Bliss.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, Melanie shit, Fiona. The script was very much flipped at one point.
He bodied that shit. And you ever heard Lupe rap over that?
Nah.
What song was that?
It wasn't that Lupe.
You never feel the feel, nigga, pain.
Lupe had that beat.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same beat. It was the same sample that's very similar.
When I heard Cole's verse on Beautiful Bliss, I was actually annoyed. I'm like, Wale, how many times you gonna let this man come on your record and dwarf?
I was the first one.
Theme song to Drop By. That's the name of the Lupe song.
Yeah.
Was that the first one?
That was a leftover from Food and Liquor. That was part of the leak, right?
That was before Rather Be With You, though. Rather Be With You, I was annoyed.
By
that's close. That was Currency, Wale, and J. Cole.
Did he rap? Did he rap over that? I'd rather be with you. Be with you. The Bootsy Collins shit.
Yeah, everyone has that.
That song is a banger.
Yeah,
that's Sam.
Coldish.
What do you think of Wale album, Spencer?
I listened to it. I liked it. I only really remember the My Boy song.
You know what annoys me? Sorry. You know what annoys me about Wale though? So you know that 3 days, 3 hours song?
Remind me.
That's like the song that he's quietly pushing on his social media. He's like really excited.
It's off the new one. Yeah.
3 days, 3 hours. And it's Wale doing that whole like poetry kind of.
Yeah, when is he going to let that go?
Dog.
I mean, I guess it's like, what he does.
Yo, so he says some shit like.
Yo, every time. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Every time he does that, you know what I think about? I don't hate it. But this is my thing. If you do something on a song that there's not someone out there who that's their favorite shit, you probably shouldn't do it. And I can't figure out who loves that.
No.
I don't think there's
Twitter
a single
person. No. Twitter loves that. No.
You don't have to make fun of it.
No. Twitter.
I mean, if I, with my, like, it's Twitter, some weird slant line.
His
like,
Twitter followers like that. And he appreciates that because it's his favorite thing that he does. So every time he does it,
all his fans
get excited, it gives
him
the battery.
Who gets excited for
his
that?
Fans. No, bro. If you check his timeline, you'll see all the people going crazy for that 3 days.
There's definitely a niche of Twitter I can think of. Like
100%. No, 100%. Like, the same way.
See, I feel like even that demo, like.
Have you heard Black Bonnie?
Yeah.
Like, they're really excited
about
that song.
Yeah, but Black Bonnie, at least, he turns it into something interesting. I'm talking about this, like, slant rhyme, spoken word shit that, like, I just don't know who fucking loves that.
I think it's because that's what he used to do when he was, like, on his come up. Like, I think he's staying true to something that he did when he was younger in his career. And this is me assuming.
Yeah, he's
done. I'm assuming with, like, the go-go theme and the fact that go-go music is very much just acoustic and just very live instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
That in doing those sets, he maybe said, "Yo, stop playing." And he that was like his come up had to do with something like that. I'd be willing to bet that.
That's
and it's like, but like, stop though, nigga. Like,
for real.
If it's very clear.
I mean, part of J. Cole's come up was mentioning how he tried to get on with Jay-Z and Jay-Z shit on him. Eventually he let that go because like he realized he was J. Cole.
Right. He let the Nas shit go. I thought he was going to hold on to this Nas shit forever, bro. He let that shit go. I'm literally walking across Eastern Parkway and I have to stop in the middle of the street and just throw my head to the ceiling because this man is on here like, yeah, you know, in two nights or maybe tonight. Oh my God, bro. We get it. You understand homonyms. Like, get over it.
Yeah, like, dog. Like, you
blows mine with this
shit. This is first grade level fucking.
And then he goes into like a turn.
No, he's.
He's like, we could turn two nights into 3 days. I'm like, you sound like a fucking hotel ad.
Honestly, at times, what he does with
that.
This
nigga Airbnb. Yeah.
To 2 nights into 3 days.
Stop it. Like, what blows my mind is not so.
Kayak it's not poetry. Kayak.
It's not even so much that.
I actually think he's kind of high level at that sometimes. It's just anything I want to hear.
It's not so much that it's corny. It's that he is so impressed with it every time.
Yeah. Wale is really impressed with himself.
He's a fucking genius every time. And I'm like, bro,
that's the problem
right there. Fourth grade English.
That's the problem right there. The reason why I think people don't like Wale is because Wale.
No, that's it. 100%.
He's so impressed by himself that he's not allowing other people to be impressed with him. It's like, he's just like, no, like, this is why you should.
Do you remember?
This is why you should think I'm so great.
Like, he was telling people it was his reasonable doubt.
What was
ambition?
Like, bitch is not even that good.
Nigga, you made Radio Disney for niggas. Nigga. Like, what are you talking about? Nah. The biggest hit single is Lotus Flower Bomb. Like, are you comparing that to...
Bro, you had Pretty Girls music video and Gucci Mane.
Dog. So you think... Let's end where we started. So you think you're with me. I think more about Nothing. The second Seinfeld mixtape is his best mixtape.
I think so.
What's his best... Do you have a favorite Wally mixtape?
I'll be completely honest in the fact
that... discography.
Yeah, it's like I've listened to almost everything once and just... had moments that I was like, that's cool, but I never liked the entire project.
I might even throw a vote in the pot for Falarin. I thought that was really
Falarin cool. Falarin was like a volume two of mix. It just had a lot of hits.
Really,
but none of them really took off. What's his best album?
How many albums did he have?
He's got a lot.
He's got five.
Five albums?
I think it's the album of
He has five albums.
I'm gonna name them and you're gonna
Attention Deficit, I know.
Well, the thing is,
he
put three out.
Ambition.
In a relatively short time.
I have it in front of me. Attention Deficit, Ambition, The Gifted.
Don't know it.
Album About Nothing. You know The Gifted.
I don't.
Album About Nothing.
Wait.
I'll tell you how you know.
You might actually have reason not to, though.
The Gifted came out the week after the June 18th, 2013 albums. Mac Miller, J. Cole.
That's why I never listened to it in my life.
I thought The Gifted was low key in the running. I think The Gifted might be.
What was the single? What was like the
track? It had a rough ending.
The Gifted technically had Bad.
I did like Bad.
Technically, but it was like a leftover because Bad had already been on Falarin. Right,
yeah.
Man, Tierra Thomas. Mm-hmm. What the fuck happened to her?
Yo, she just put out a project.
That was the girl who was on Bad.
Oh,
she put out a project last week.
The first single from The Gifted was actually really cool. It was Love Hate Thing. It was the It used the Marvin Gaye.
Excellent,
great song.
That is like top five Wale songs.
Mm. Yo, you know what song was hard off the Gifted?
The joint with Meek, bro.
They I was gonna say on that shit. Which one's that? That's
it's early on. It's like track three.
Heaven's Afternoon. I was gonna say Rotation.
Rotation
was one of the first ones where I was like, yo, 2 Chainz can write a fucking beat.
No, 2 Chainz is.
I liked Wiz on that too.
Oh, that's right. That was
so. You would go with the Album About Nothing as his best album. See, my problem is. I would go with the Album About Nothing as his best album, and it very well might be. But the mixtape More About Nothing is better, so that devalues the Album About Nothing.
Okay,
so I would probably go with The Gifted. I like The Gifted more than the average person.
I kind of flip that logic almost as if because, I mean, the Album About Nothing came out when Wale, I think most people would agree, was, I guess, the beginning of the end for him as far as, like, being a top-tier, player in the game.
The Album About Nothing should have been the thing that, like, brought him... Like, that should have... You know, that should have been, like, his, like, John Travolta Pulp Fiction. Like, you thought he was washed, but second here win. He is, back like he never... Right. And it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, no, and I think...
It kind of did, but it kind of did.
But it didn't play out that way narrative-wise. Musically, I thought it was
really good.
The best music he'd made album-wise in a long time, and I thought it was impressive that he was able to do that and capture that sentiment so long after most people would have considered him a prime artist, which was 2010. To do that 5 years apart, I thought it was.
How did the Usher song not become the fucking wedding anthem of all time?
Do you
remember that one, KC?
Wale has the most confusing...
The Matrimony? It was like... Buttery Usher so chorus,
good, so good.
Like
Jerry fucking Seinfeld did the intro.
Wale didn't
like an original.
How good was the White Shoes?
The White Shoes, the rapping on that song.
Album's really good. You would probably like the album about nothing, though,
really
KC.
Good, yeah, I mean, I heard him kind of. He was kind of parading about it, like saying, "Yo." Kind of in talking about his retirement, which I'm sure you guys heard that he's saying he's retired.
SZA's great on that.
That he pretty much was saying, like, dog, I got the most important comedian in history on my album, and nobody gave a shit. No. And it's like one, stop fucking complaining because that's the reason why people don't like you to begin with. But two, it's like at the same time, you did have the biggest comedian of all time, and that should have meant more. Like, you're not wrong about it.
You know what? That's why I'm so like. As annoyed as Wale gets me, he would never make my quote-unquote canceled list because, yo, as much harping and as much off-the-wall complaining that he does...
He's not
wrong.
He cares a lot.
Not only does he care a lot, he's closer to being accurate than he is to being manic most of the time.
Wait, say that again?
He's closer to being accurate than he is to being manic most of the time, which is... really something, because he has some really wild claims. And then weeks, months later, maybe you might sit back and be like, wait a minute, you know what, he had a fucking
I mean, I don't think most people get there.
I think if you look at it, it's very obvious. It's very obvious why he's frustrated, being signed to MMG, having or at least
he was appearing to be in a lot of ways.
Like, he's above average. Man. I don't think anybody would ever take away from the fact that he's an above average rapper he's in a very time above where average. It's I like think so. He should be in the talks with the Drakes and the Kendricks and the Coles, but he's not. Nobody mentions him top five.
See,
he's in the talks at the tail end.
I still don't think he deserves to be, man. I'm a big Wale fan. Like. But
the problem is you can't put him over one of those guys.
The thing that those guys have going for them is that they just figured out a way to found that stride that made it really easy for them to just deliver a full album about nothing package that, every time.
No, it was way too late.
But that's peak though. Wale was fucked
from the jump. Like debut. The attention deficit. Like he's very well spoken about. Not well spoken. He's very outspoken about how things went down and how he had a song with Lady Gaga, but he didn't want it. Like,
have you seen the Combat Jack interview with Wale?
Nope.
Especially as someone RIP. That is RIP Jack 100% all the time, especially as someone that is invested in Combat Jack's abilities, that interview, when I think about interviewing an artist whose narrative and the nuance of whose career I care about, that's the interview I think about. I think you should definitely watch that. That is very strong. It's him, Dallas, Just Blaze. It's a really good conversation.
Well, I think that's been it. Yes, that's been episode 6.
Episode 6.
6
lakh.
That was my
Oh, wow. It's a wrap.
Motherfucker. What floor are we on?
Mic drop. 6th floor. Damn.
Is this the outro?
I don't know what the fuck that was.
Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to listeners. Shout out to IG. Follow us. 92 Bricks.
Shout out to Cat Williams.
It's 92 Bricks Pod.
92 Bricks POD. On Instagram. Follow us on there. We on Spotify, which you're probably listening to right now. Mm-hmm. Or you're on Apple Podcast.
Yeah, tell us where you're listening. We want to know what's your favorite platform.
Spotify better. I ain't going to find Spotify.
I fuck with Apple. Apple is better.
I listen to most of my podcasts on Apple.
Yeah, but I listen to cover art.
I only listen to like 3 podcasts.
The cover art's cool. Spotify works well for pods, I will say. One thing that bothers me is I'm not a premium, so I can't subscribe.
I know, it's fucking
weird. That's annoying.
That shit is weak.
I hate paywalls.
It's nice. 2 Bricks Podcast, that's episode fact. 6.
Yo, why is Patrick Mahomes' official nickname not Patty Holmes? Come on. Patty Holmes. True. All right, that's it. I just had to,
On that note,
shout out to the sponsor. I don't think we had shout out the sponsor earlier. Sponsor maybe today,
maybe tomorrow.
NYC.com. You throw that BRICKS for the promo code, you get 30% off. They just dropped their fall winter shit, which was looking really dope. I'm about to cop some shit.
They got some hoodies.
Yeah, hoodies. That's a really. I saw a hoodie earlier that I'm definitely copping.
Hoodie with the promo.
The promo.
Matter of fact, it's happening right now.
Pass my blood,
nigga.
Psst. Yeah, this song's about to make me start smoking.
Yeah, I'm about to go outside and smoke big dope to this shit. 92 Bricks.
All right. That's it. 92 Bitches.